The views expressed on PFW in Progress are not those of the New England Patriots, its affiliates, or any of its partners. Content may not be suitable for all audiences. Listener discretion is advised.
This is PFW in Progress.
It's a Mega Bowl. What's not to understand? This is history in the making. You're going to want to tell your grandkids and their grandkids and their grandkids. And when they look back in the annals of history, they're going to be talking about three things: discovery of fire, invention of the submarine, and Mega Bowl.
PFW in Progress with Fred Kirsch.
I mean, you can just think of me as Bambi's mother. I make sure nothing bad happened to you.
Bambi's mother got shot, right?
Yeah, first scene.
I remember that. The credits were still rolling and everything.
Paul Perillo.
The crowd is really excited tonight.
They know what's at stake, Dick.
Yep.
Now I'm talking about free corn dogs.
Oh, that's right. It's free corn dog night.
And Andy. And Andy?
There they come, the Flint Tropics Ball Girls cheerleading squad, keeping the crowd energized through the timeout.
They just got such big...
What?
Hearts.
Yes.
Big, bouncy, jiggly hearts.
Well, hearts don't really bounce, so now I think you're talking about something else.
Andy Hart.
But I like breasts.
Eric Scalavino.
The great question. Tomorrow... after the game, I will wrestle a bear.
You're not going to want to miss this, folks. And if you're a small child, you creep into your mama's bedroom at night and you lift about $40 out of your mom's purse.
For now, anyway.
Stewie's insane. He can rip my head off.
PFW in Progress, part of the Patriots Football Network.
Stewie?
Ah! Everybody panic! Oh, my God, there's a bear loose in the Coliseum!
All right, welcome to PFW in Progress. It is another off-season special edition. Free agency is on tap. We're in the middle of it. Things are happening. Not here in New England, but elsewhere. No, that's not true. Patriots made a signing yesterday, and I think it's a good signing, a good solid signing. Not a big
good
splash.
Good not
signing.
An exciting one.
But definitely a
no splash.
Good one for
it's
this
like
team.
Like one of those Olympic dives that wins. No splash at all.
That's all right. But you said that wins. And that's the key.
Ooh, good.
Well, very, very well done, Freddie.
Yes.
So he's the difference maker on defense. Good to know.
Jonathan Fanene.
Pretty sure we're going to win with or without.
Doesn't his name sound like it should be a nickname?
Well, it sounds like something you would,
Fanene?
You know, like a parent would. Don't let anyone touch your Fanene.
Yeah, right.
You know? It's funny. I do tell my kids about their wee-wee and their woo-hoo.
Right.
Beth gets mad at me if I do that.
But
it's a good signing, Fred.
Yeah.
You know me. If I can get a defensive lineman who's a Samoan, I'll take him any day of the week.
And he's a big fan of Samoans.
He's a good, solid signing. Fits in well here.
It's
Now, everybody is up in arms. All the fans. Patriots aren't doing anything. But, you know, I think Dale Arnold, I was listening to him this morning, he made a good point.
Really? Where'd he get it from?
I don't know. But
really?
But he said, you know, what do the Patriots, the Steelers, the Ravens, the Packers all have in common? None of them are really making...
They're all in cap hell?
No, they're all... None of them are really making big splashes because they, at this point, you know, they really don't need to. A lot of these teams are doing what they're doing to appease their fans, you know, to sell tickets.
Well, they're trying to get better.
Yeah, I think the argument is a lot of
teams... Because they were so bad.
Yes, a lot of the teams, they need better players.
Right.
They needed to go... Buffalo needs Mario Williams. They need him.
Boy, is that the longest courtship in free agency?
Yeah.
Does it seem like it anyway?
His girlfriend was there.
I'm convinced his girlfriend's coming in because she's worried about him. He's under hostage.
But I would amend.
I'm convinced.
I would amend what
she's
you're
worried
saying.
About Buffalo.
I would amend what you're saying. I think
you want to sign here.
Every team needs a Mario Williams.
No,
but the Bills need to pay.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying.
Yeah.
When you come out and you make a big splash, you know, it's no surprise Tampa Bay with all that money they had, Vincent Jackson.
No surprise the Bengals have all that money and have done nothing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And
their cap's going down and down.
I think that you need to, when you're a bad team and you have the money, I think you need to go out and overpay, quote unquote.
Yep.
And I don't necessarily think that any specific one of these, the receivers seem to be getting a lot of money, but I don't think they're all grossly overpaid the way everybody's blindly writing, I think. I think it's just an easy thing to do every year. Stupid teams go out and overpay for, well, you know, Tampa Bay needed to go out and get some players. You know, if they ended up paying an extra $1 million per year annually, so be it.
Yeah.
You know, but I think you have to do some things when you're bad.
Doesn't that argument hold true for the Patriots defense? It stinks. It's a Tampa Bay caliber defense. It's a terrible defense. Just because you have Brady in the offense, your defense is bad team worthy, right? So you need to get better on defense, right?
And I think that will be a goal this offseason, no doubt. They'll be looking to get better on defense.
Nene was the answer, a backup from the Bengals.
Wait a minute. Hold on one second.
Where
I would pump the brakes is I don't think they necessarily needed to go out and give Mario Williams $100 million to do what you said.
And hold on, though
Mario Williams would obviously drastically improve your defense.
Hold on.
And if we give LeRon Landry 40, I'm going to be pissed.
I will be too.
With this Fanene signing, if this happened in the summer, I don't think we'd even blink an eye.
If it happened this week and it was the fourth one, I'd be going, that's a great sign.
Well, if we had already signed two other defenders,
right,
I would be fine too.
It happened so early in free agency, everybody's like, that's it? It just so happened. That
you're so right.
It just so happened he was so available. Right. They got him for what they wanted to, you know, they were willing to pay him. So they signed him. I mean, this isn't the last thing they're going to do.
He was so stunned by the deal, he just approved it from Samoa.
Right. Well, we know.
Patriots want me, and they're going to pay me how much?
They didn't even have to sign
that crap.
We know every year. Now, it may not be, you know, big names, but as far as churn, the Patriots make more personnel moves than anybody.
As far as what?
Churn. You know, guys moving in and
turnover.
Out.
Turnover.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know, I just never have heard anyone say
just
that.
As far as churn.
But I think everyone's looking at, because this happened so early in free agency, people are comparing the Fanene deal to what these other teams are doing and going, oh, my God, I can't believe. But this is a deal that the Patriots would make every year at any time.
Right, but you don't expect it in the first 24 to 48 hours of free agency. That's when you expect to get the big names.
Right, but
You can get the Fanene you could have signed in July.
Well, maybe not. Maybe this is a guy that, you know, is versatile. The Patriots do like him. And, you know, they didn't want to wait. They wanted to make sure they got this guy.
He's a solid player.
Well, right. See, but I think they absolutely did that.
Exactly.
I think they targeted him.
Right. Yeah.
That's where I think some of the fans are wondering why.
And now they may have targeted Danny Amendola.
Right.
Yes.
But they targeted him and they gave him, what, $3 million a year? I mean,
More like four.
$4 million a year, including almost four up front.
Yeah, but so
it's not about the money, Fred.
Well, no,
because no one cares. Does anybody really care about the money?
But
to quote you from Tuesday,
everyone's comparing it to the Vincent Jacksons and all these other deals, and it's unfair to do that because this is a guy that the Patriots liked and they signed him. He was available, they signed him. It just
happens it
was the first week of free agency.
I think you're absolutely right about the overreaction that is typical. You know, how many PFWs we get already? What are we doing? What's BB up to? What's he thinking?
Right, right. I got those,
you know, every
less than an hour
year.
And a half into free agency. I was getting them. What are the Patriots waiting
what
for?
Are we, right. What are we mean? Waiting for? I mean, that's
we're an hour and a half in.
That's where I totally agree with you, Fred, the overreaction. But
and they would have been appeased, by the way, by visits. I don't even think those people necessarily were looking for signings. They just wanted to read Patriots to host LeRon Landry on the first night of free agency, or Mario or somebody. Mm.
But what I think rubs some fans the wrong way, and I would put myself in this category. What's up, Matt? What do you got?
So this is just kind of a random thing I found on Twitter. Apparently, Brandon Lloyd's Wikipedia page says he's a Patriots wide receiver.
Huh. That's interesting. Because Wikipedia is usually anyone could have done that.
Yeah,
he may have done it.
Right.
Oh, but typically, those things are quick to update.
Sure. Well, okay. Well, you know.
Well, let's put it this way: if he ends up signing,
reports indicate Brandon Lloyd.
If he ends up signing with the Patriots, it's not going to be stunning news.
Wikipedia,
the guy's been
not a source.
He's been openly pining for the Patriots for as long as anyone can remember. But I think what upset and I would fall into the category is the guys that you're talking about that seem to have been the targets for the Patriots.
Steve Gregory,
Fanene, Gregory,
Danny Amendola,
Anthony Gonzalez is the one that chaps me the most.
Yeah,
chaps him. We got chaps,
churning
got
and
churn.
Chapping.
I mean, what is going on?
You need to see H word.
I think
soon.
if you look at, you know, I'm not necessarily comparing the signings, the Vincent Jacksons that you said, Fred, but while other teams are they have a number one or number two guy that everybody could see is one of the better. You know, we seem to have our number one and number two guys that we're targeting to be these low
number
level
four and number five, you know, guys.
If this were, you know, if like Andy said, if you had made a signing or two and then these came later, I think everybody would be thrilled. To get a Jarvis Green type or a Mike Wright type like Fanene, solid business. You need guys like that. And their defensive line is very, very thin.
Yeah.
That's something. I mean, almost all of the guys were free agents up
figuratively.
Front.
Figuratively.
Yeah,
yes.
Exactly.
I mean, you have Wilfork. You
a bunch
have
180-pound guys on the.
You have Wilfork and you have Love as known commodities to me. Brandon Dederick is on the roster, but has proven really very little. And then you have Ron Brace and Myron Pryor coming off IR. Brace has done nothing.
I think it's even problematic that one of your guys is Love. That's a known commodity.
Yes, I agree with you.
A second
that
year.
That guy Jack. In a little coat. You
know. Well, listen to this guy behind the glass throwing stones.
Sorry, I didn't know you were on the Atkins diet in there.
You know, I've never
claimed to be skinny.
No, but again,
nor have I.
I hear what Paul's saying, and I agree with that. You know, it's while other teams have targeted, you know, the best in class, let's say, and, you know, you look at the free agent class, and then you look at the best of in each position, teams seem to target those guys.
Isn't that the point?
The Patriots, for whatever reason, you know, aren't doing that. They're going after guys that, hey, why not bring him in? Why not bring in Danny Amendola in? I mean, why not? You're going to have 80 guys here anyway.
Because I don't want to give up a second-round pick for him.
Well, you know, I don't know. I mean, the guy, well, he was hurt last year, right?
Right.
The year before, he had like 85 catches.
For 8.8 yards per catch.
But on the Rams, you know, so maybe.
Yeah, what does that mean?
Maybe they see in Amendola what they saw in Welker before.
I'm sure they do. That doesn't mean it's going to really work.
When Welker was with the.
You're right, Fred.
When Welker was with the Dolphins, he wasn't doing
it. I didn't think that Welker was going to be what he is. You're right.
So I don't know. I mean, but to me, if
what are the chances, though? Literally, what are the chances that a guy from the exact same college goes through the exact same career path?
Check Amendola's Wikipedia page.
But he doesn't have to duplicate. If he does 80 catches, isn't that good?
And why can't Edelman do 80 catches?
Because he's busy playing cornerback. He's busy playing cornerback.
Because he's what?
He's better than 80 catches, Welker.
Edelman.
Oh. Maybe he could, but maybe.
So we're going to give up a two in money instead of letting Edelman?
But maybe they don't think he can.
I'm waiting for them to call us because apparently they collect.
You know, maybe
white
he
guys.
Drops too many catches. I don't know. You know? So.
He drops too many catches. He
yeah, passes. Yes.
We know but again, yeah. I don't think the competition for Anthony Gonzalez.
Right.
I don't think the competition for Anthony Gonzalez and Danny Amendola is going to be that great.
No.
So for that to be a focus this early to me is a little bit surprising.
Yeah. And Danny Amendola, you can't even sign until the 17th, I believe, is the first day for restricted free agents. What day is today? 15th.
15th.
Yeah.
Saturday is even the first day, and there are reports. Scott Zolak, Amendola, we should say, was reportedly at Patriot Place last night.
I got a couple updates on that for you, Andy.
Okay.
Was never seen at Patriot's Place. That was a mistake. It was
the place?
The place in
and
Boston.
It's Patriot Place.
Because it's Patriot Place.
There's
it's
no
not
S
Patriots.
At the end.
Was that, wait a minute, was that according to Zolak?
That was according to Zolak.
Okay. So yes. So the it was the one thing I talked about off the air by Evan Silva from Pro Football Talk was accurate.
And it was reportedly for death or something in his family, and he did not visit with the Patriots.
Okay, yeah, and there is a place in Boston called The Place.
Yes, and that's why I was confused about where he was.
I love these little fires. These are my favorites in the Twitter age.
So Scott Zolak, is he the one that screwed it up?
It's another glowing endorsement from Twitter.
Did Zolak screw it up?
Oh, I don't know.
Was he typing with one eye open again?
He tweeted The Place.
I thought he tweeted that he was seen at Patriot Place originally.
Anyway.
I don't think so.
Who cares?
Who cares? And a death in the family.
All right. WebRadio@Patriots.com is the email address.
So, that was my next question.
508-298-0398 is the Ace Ticket Hotline. We'll be here until 2 o'clock taking your calls and emails. But before we take any more calls and emails, I want to get to the Ace Ticket Hotline because on the phone right now we have Matt Miller from NFL Draft Scout. Hey, Matt. Thanks for calling in.
Hey, guys. Thanks for having me. I'm actually with Bleacher Report now, not NFL Draft Scout. Just wanted to clear that up.
Oh, okay.
So you used to work for NFL Draft Scout? Is that where you started?
Yeah, I've worked a little bit of everywhere. And, you know, with it's a nice Twitter handle to have for search engines. So, but I've planted roots in a lot of media places.
Okay, so your Twitter handle is literally NFL Draft Scout, meaning in the not – related.
He scouts the NFL
yeah,
draft.
Not, exactly. Yeah, not related right. to that website.
So it's a little misleading because people might think you actually work for NFL Draft Scout.
Well, maybe, but I have links to where I work in the actual about me on Twitter. So.
Okay. All right. Well, Matt, thanks for calling in. I don't know how this got started, or maybe I do. But
strippers is a troublemaker.
Yeah, we have a guy who is a frequent caller, emailer to the show who likes to cause trouble with us. And I guess that he told you that we said something about who are we talking
Brian
about?
Hoyer.
Brian Hoyer that you disagreed with. And I guess our premise here, and I think we all agree, the four of us, it's Andy Hart, Eric Scalavino, Paul Perillo, myself, Fred Kirsch. We like Brian Hoyer. We think he's okay, but we don't understand why a lot of teams would think that, you know, he could be a starter based on what we know. And tell us where we're wrong on that.
Well, I don't want to say you're wrong. I think it's your opinion. And you guys are obviously entrenched with the team. You have a good opportunity to see players on a more frequent basis. For me, what I've seen in Hoyer, and it's such a small sample size because he's, you know, barely played during the regular season, it's just enough potential to trust. And what I had originally said, and I'll tell you, when a guy whose Twitter handle is VIPstrippers.com sends you a message, I actually thought it was like a joke or spam or something. I didn't take this guy very seriously.
Oh, no, he's to be taken seriously. And he's a professional poop stirrer, as they say.
And if you have a bachelor party, he can hook you up.
He's
I know
the guy.
From experience.
Yeah. He's the guy.
Well, I've bookmarked his page now, so I'm set. But, yeah, so I think, you know, you guys saw that my replies to him were almost condescending. No, they probably were condescending, not almost, because I didn't take that account seriously because VIP stripper. So no offense meant to him, but back to Hoyer.
Or us when you called us bloggers?
Absolutely not. I didn't know who you guys were at that time. So that
vice versa.
that's definitely my fault for not knowing who you guys were and, you know, looking at this guy's Twitter page and not taking it seriously. But
don't worry, I fly off the handle all the time too, and I may have said some negative things about you when you weren't listening.
That's what Andy does.
You know, football media right now is so huge, it's going to happen where you guys don't know who I am, I don't know who you are, and in the heat of trying to track, you know, 40 free agent signings and work on NFL draft stuff, you just, you know, throw something off your shoulder, don't take the time to look into to see who someone is. Yeah. It happens. I think we all learn from it and, you know, make new relationships and move forward. And you know, you guys obviously have valuable information. I think I do a fair job providing draft information and tracking guys in the NFL. So it's, I think it's all good.
Okay. So let's get back to Hoyer. I want to know exactly what because you said that, you know, based on what he's done, there's a little bit, I haven't seen anything. That is my standpoint, is I have yet to see anything significant, especially physically, that tells me he can do what you need to do as an NFL
one
quarterback.
One way or the other, by the way.
I haven't seen anything that says he can't because I've never seen him play.
Well, and you're talking about as a starter, not just as an NFL quarterback.
I think he's a fine career backup.
He's an excellent
Tremendous.
Backup.
But I want
We're talking
know
about starting quality.
What you've heard and or seen from GMs or what have you that say, you know what, he might be a guy worth a second-round pick that we should give a chance to develop into our starter.
Sure. I hadn't paid a lot of attention to Hoyer since he left Michigan State until last year when Michael Lombardi interviewed for the 49ers GM job before they kept an internal. He had told them that his first move would be bringing Brian Hoyer to the 49ers as the starting quarterback.
Okay, yeah. I need to stop you right there for just 1 second and bring a little bit to light about, and I'm sure you have some awareness of this, but Mike Lombardi worked with Bill Belichick in Cleveland, and around here we refer to him as a FOB. That's a friend of Bill Belichick, and I would be stunned if at least part of that isn't his allegiances to Bill Belichick. Mike Lombardi is now a media guy. I've talked to him many times. He claims he has no interest in getting back into the league. I believe the quote was, "I don't need a logo on my chest to let people know I know about football." And for him to say something like that, for me, says he's carrying Bill Belichick's water a little bit and trying to drum up a little interest in Brian Hoyer. Proceed.
Yeah, it could be. You know, that very well could be. That's a good way to look at that possibility. For me, you know, maybe it's the aspect of a guy learning behind Tom Brady or being in that system. I would rather take a shot on a Brian Hoyer than, you know, draft one of these guys.
Or a Rohan Davey.
Like Ryan Tannehill. Yeah, you know, there's just so many of these guys this year who don't match up mentally. And for me, mentally, the quarterback position, you have to have it upstairs. It doesn't matter how fast you can run. Or, you know, even how far you can throw. If you're accurate and smart, I think you can succeed, especially in the right system. So what I had said originally was, if I'm Seattle, I would much rather have Brian Hoyer than draft Ryan Tannehill in the first round. Because, you know, Tannehill's getting all this publicity, and I've scouted the guy for 2 years, and I don't see it.
Now, Tannehill may be a guy that's getting overvalued, but my counterargument to that was there was no value on Brian Hoyer. When he entered the league, it was as an undrafted player that no one wanted. The Patriots targeted him as a leader, a captain, a game manager. So physically, at least some scouts somewhere have decided that Tannehill has NFL-caliber tools, correct?
Oh, yeah.
Do you totally disagree with that? Or
No, I don't disagree that athletically Tannehill is a superior prospect. I mean, a guy played receiver for 2 years, so you know he's a good athlete. But, you know, other than the physical nature of the job, the mental aspects, even accuracy, mechanically, I think Tannehill is very weak overall compared to some of these other guys like Kirk Cousins or, you know, even Brandon Whedon, who, you know, he'll be 29 when the season starts. But I would rather have Whedon ahead of Tannehill.
Okay, but I would the argument you made about Tannehill, I would make about Hoyer opposite. I would say the intangibles, the headiness, the ability to learn an offense, everything, I believe he has. My problem is I don't know that he has any physical tools necessary to make the throws in the NFL. To steal a Charlie Weiss line, I think you time his outs with a sundial. That's how long it takes the ball to get there.
And I'm not sure about his headiness under pressure.
Right. Yeah. Well, that you can't know.
Right.
You can't
possibly
know
that. And that would be my point. There's a lot of unknown, you know, from both sides of it. Like you guys said at the beginning, you haven't seen anything that says he's a starter, but you really haven't seen anything, you know, that you can definitively say he's not because there's such a small sample size.
We're taking
risks on guys every day. You know, 230 guys are going to get drafted, and every one of them is some level of a risk.
But the problem with Hoyer is you got to give up a second to get him. It's if you just wanted to sign him as a free agent, give him a low money deal, I would argue go all in. But to me, a second round pick is a pretty high value on
an investment
that you don't know anything about, and you've already admitted doesn't appear to have the, you know, top line physical tools that you would think you'd want at the position. That's why I think he's a major risk for any team willing to hand him.
And you know, we all like him as the backup, but we would jump at the offer of a second.
Drive him to the airport.
Yeah,
I know a lot of Patriots fans would, but Matt Flynn, physically, Matt Flynn and Brian Hoyer are pretty similar. Just in, you looked at them as physical.
Except that Matt Flynn has proved it a little.
Well,
that's the big difference.
And I would be scared to death to be signing Matt Flynn, by the way.
As would I, but someone will. And if we're comparing,
but at least, as Fred said, though, he played.
He did, 2 games.
Yeah, well, that's
two more than Hoyer has.
And we're being swayed, admittedly, by practice field work. We've seen more of Hoyer than most people have because we go to every single training camp practice. And the guy just flat out, you know, whatever you want to say about you don't have to have a gun in the NFL, he has a noodle. He has a noodle arm, and that is undeniable.
So is Alex Smith, though. I'm not saying that you guys are wrong. I think everyone looks for different things at a quarterback. You know, that's one position where there's not like a straight line. Here's what we look for. You have to be able to do this. And, you know, even, you know, guys like Tom Brady have changed some of that because when he came out, and you guys know better than anyone, he wasn't that impressive. He was slow. He was skinny. You know, his arm was underrated. And I would never compare Brian Hoyer to Brady other than they've worn the same jersey. But
Tom Brady coming out of school was John Elway compared to Brian Hoyer.
Yeah, and even then, I mean, yes, you could say that Brady's an outlier, but you can't use outliers as an example for, you know, other guys. You know, that was
– And we're all, by the way –
That's once an era that you get a guy that overlooked that becomes a Hall of Famer.
We do want to add, too, that we it's weird for us because – We're in the locker room, you know, with all the other beat writers every day and stuff, and one of the best guys to deal with is Brian Hoyer.
The best.
We really, really like him a lot. He's very, very personable guy, very professional. I'm rooting for him. I'd love to see him get his chance to prove me wrong, because I really like the guy, and I think that there's not enough guys like that, you know, he was overlooked, undrafted free agent, and a lot of times, you know, they just kind of make up your mind about a guy like that, and that's it. I'd love to see him prove everybody wrong because I like the guy a lot.
I would like to see him prove everybody wrong, but I'm rooting for him actually to not get his chance. I'd actually like to see him have, like, a 12-year career where he throws
a total
of 60 passes, collects $800,000 throughout the length of his career, and has a nice, long, enjoyable, because I really do think he's going to fall on his face if he ever starts games.
Well, I appreciate your guys' insight. I really do. And it's good to hear from people who are actually there every day. You know, part of the scouting process from afar is it's a big gamble, and there's a lot of mystery, you know, just like there would be for any team. You know, if the Seahawks are interested in a guy like Hoyer, they're taking a huge risk as well. So it's good that there are people like yourselves who are out there. I'm going to hold out hope that someday he has the ability to be a starting quarterback, but I tend to take the approach of, you know, you have to prove that you can't do something, and I'm not saying that's the right way to do it. It's just kind of how I've got to where I am.
Sure. Well, just one word of advice. When you're talking to GMs, don't listen to the Oakland Raiders because they're not too good. Just because they have GM next to their name doesn't mean they know.
Just because they have a logo on their chest doesn't mean they know football.
Right. All right. Thanks, Matt, for calling in.
Hey, and, really appreciate you calling in.
Where can we read your stuff again? Bleacher Report?
Yeah, you can read it. Yeah, bleacherreport.com. We're actually scouting. I am, not we. I'm scouting every player in the NFL right now, rating the top 1,000. We're doing it position by position. So the left guard came out today. Logan Mankins was number 6 among left guards. So if you guys want to check that out, it's on bleacherreport.com. And follow me on Twitter at NFL Draft Scale.
You get paid for this?
What's that?
Do you get paid for this?
Very well, yeah.
Oh, okay.
Excellent.
Right. Excellent.
Well, thank you. Hiring? If it's very well, are you hiring?
Thanks, Matt, and call in anytime.
See you, Matt.
Yeah, thank you, guys.
All right. That's Matt Miller from Bleacher Report, and you can read his stuff anytime you want. It was good for him to call in.
Now, is this where I mock him once he's off the air?
Well, I assume.
If you want.
Well, how is he self? He goes, not we. I am scouting every player in the NFL. Not even no teams scout every player. There's a reason they have scouting departments.
Yeah.
How's he scouting every player in the NFL?
Well, they pay him very well.
Who's paying him?
I'm just saying, if he worked 24 hours a day, 365, you couldn't adequately scout every player in the NFL, right?
That's
you just
true.
Can't.
That's
can you imagine
true.
How long it would take Eric to do that?
I like to be thorough, Paul. I'm sorry.
And they have Mankins at 6 after a questionable year. Not a very
well,
good
I
year
think,
for him.
Well, you know, when he said that, I kind of said okay, because if he said 1, I was going to question it. But if he said that drops him down 6, that lowered his rating, because at one time it was him and the guy from the Saints, and you know, as one of the top 2. So down to 6 is actually a drop for Logan
and he
Mankins.
Should be, because he didn't have a good
right
year.
So I'm not arguing with that. You know, that seems reasonable to me.
I thought we were fair with him.
Yeah,
I thought we called him out on some things and let
he
him
never quite answered the question though of whether he actually ever worked for NFL draft scout.
He vaguely said that, but I think vaguely I work for NFL Draft Scouts.
I mean, any one of you guys, let's be fair, any one of you guys that sent an email to Bleacher Report, Yard Barker, NFL, they would accept your stuff. Gladly, you know?
Yeah, but he said he's getting
no, but he said, yeah.
Well.
And who's paying him?
I who knows? I mean, Bleacher Report is, there as a whole, that website is doing very, very well. You know, aggregately, you know, it's not just football, but all sports.
Does somebody own that?
Yeah.
Well, I mean, let me rephrase that. I know somebody owns it, but I mean, is it an offshoot of something I would know?
No.
A major website, ESPN, anybody?
I'm trying to think if they've teamed up maybe with Yahoo or something. They might have, but it's doing very well just because of the volume of stuff. People go to it to read opinion and that sort of thing. Yard Barker is the same type of thing. So, what do you got, Matt?
Mario Williams press conference in Buffalo today at 1:30.
Well, I guess that's done.
Geez, you think he signed?
Yeah.
I see him twice a year.
I'm telling you, I still think his fiance was worried about him. That's why she went to Buffalo.
Marcus Cannon and Sebastian Vollmer just pooped themselves in it at the same time.
He's just such a negative man.
That's fine.
Not scary for them?
That's fine.
Are you sure the press conference isn't to announce that he's going to stay another night and then they're going to come back tomorrow?
All right. Well, Mario Williams looks like he's going to be a Buffalo Bill, so that makes the AFC East that much more interesting this year.
Tom Brady.
You know, I think like we said earlier, this is a move that the Bills had to make. They need to sell tickets. They need to get a lot better. And I think this helps them in both regard, and they'll probably end up overpaying. I'm sure the Patriots will look at this deal and say, we would never pay that, and that's fine, but you're not the Buffalo Bills.
Right.
You know?
And they need a defense. I mean, they've kind of developed a face on offense. Fred Jackson, Stevie Johnson, Ryan Fitzpatrick. Defense hasn't really caught on. They don't even have the star to build around. Some of their first-round picks have petered out or are elsewhere now in San Francisco and other places. They needed a guy. This is the core of their defense.
Right.
And you look at it, they have Marcell Dareus was their top pick last year, who, by all accounts, had a solid rookie year. Kyle Williams is, you know,
underrated.
He's been considered underrated so long, he's probably overrated now, but he's a good, solid player. And now you bring in him.
But he's not a star.
Yeah, they're not dynamic players. Right. They're interior guys, you know. Kind of a lot like the way the Patriots went about it with Richard Seymour back in 2001. Let's get our you know, let's get our foundation built up front and then start spreading around it. Well, they think
so
they
when
might
are they
have
get
a,
the outside guy.
They think they might have the foundation built now in Buffalo. They have an outside guy that might be able to help them. You know, Merriman is not a guy to be relied on anymore, but maybe not being the focal point might do him some good, and maybe, you know, he stays healthy, maybe not. You know, maybe he's completely useless. Who knows? You know, the secondary has been, at times, the last couple of years, effective when they've been able to get some pressure on the passer, you know, with guys like Bird and Terrence McGee, Drayton Florence, you know. Stranger things have happened.
Sure.
You know, they were a much better team last year, even though they probably had about the same record. I think they were 6-10, maybe. They were a much better team last year than they were the year before.
Right.
Even the team that we beat, whatever, 49-21, the last game of the season, was a much more competitive team than the one that we've seen recently.
Yep. All right. Well, good. We talked to Matt Miller from Bleacher Report. Food is
from
here.
Wherever he is.
From his mom's. Forget it.
Don't be mean. You don't have to.
I can't help it. It's me.
All right. Let's take a break. We'll be right back with a lot of emails and your calls.
Dear business traveler high in the sky, it's for important work that you do fly. But on JetBlue, we've made your job more fun with free DirecTV to play when your tasks are done. And with 40-plus nonstop straight from Boston, you won't have layovers to cities like Austin. Log on at JetBlue.com or call for an experience dedicated to you above all. My name is Luana, and I'm a JetBlue crew member.
And that was a dedication to you from JetBlue. Experience it firsthand by flying JetBlue for business. Book now at JetBlue.com/business. DirecTV service available on flights in 48 contiguous states only.
That is the metaphorical sound of you hitting your head against the wall in your search for the perfect brand new car. Let's chalk it up to the fact that you didn't know AutoTrader.com even had new cars. See, AutoTrader.com lets you compare new cars side by side, even special offers, so your head and heart can both get what they want. Say your heart wants a sporty 2011 coupe, but your head wants the best deal in town. Bingo! A never-been-owned-before coupe that your head and heart can both agree on. AutoTrader.com, now the ultimate new car marketplace.
Hey, what's that?
A Dunkin' Donuts hot chocolate with a turbo shot of espresso.
So you're making a statement about the duality of mankind, in that we can be warm and cozy, yet intense and energetic. That's quite the dichotomy you've exposed.
Actually, it's just really delicious.
Charge up your Dunkin' hot chocolate with a turbo shot. Add some espresso to your favorite cup of chocolate comfort today. America runs on Dunkin'. Price and participation may vary. Limited time offer.
These Dunkin' sausage pancake bites are so good. I love how they wrap tasty sausages in yummy pancakes.
Actually, I believe they took yummy pancakes and filled them with tasty sausages.
Huh. You say pancake sausage bites, I say sausage pancake bites.
Try Dunkin' Donuts sausage pancake bites, your favorite breakfast flavors together in one delicious bite. Grab three for just $1.59. America runs on Dunkin'. Price and participation may vary, plus applicable taxes.
All right, guys, ready for 2 weeks in the wild or what?
Absolutely.
Yeah. All right, then strap on those backpacks.
Hey, let me just check this text.
Oh, come on, man.
Oh, no.
What?
Not now.
What is it?
McRib is back.
What?
We're going to miss it.
This backpack just got really heavy, guys.
Everybody back in the car. We are going to McDonald's.
Yeah, good.
McRib is back for just $2.79. But that saucy pork goodness is here for a limited time.
What do you think? You guys want to do a golf trip instead, maybe?
That's kind of nature-y, right?
Yeah, yeah.
The simple joy of big news. Price and participation may vary for a limited time.
Okay, I'll have the Giganto Burger with cheese combo.
Oh, will that be all?
That's it.
Go, Pats! What?
If you're like this man, you have what is known as a healthy obsession with the Patriots.
Hi, just the jeans today?
Yeah, thanks.
Go, Pats!
Okay, that was weird.
I know, right?
At Bank of America, we understand, and we can help. I'll just take this when you're ready.
Oh, here you go.
Go, Pats!
Indeed, go, Pats. With Patriots checking from Bank of America, you can do more than just tell the world about your loyalty. You can show them by getting the Patriots logo on your checks and debit card.
I say, here's a baguette. Go long. I'm open.
Whoops. Ask your Bank of America associate if Patriots checking is right for you. Or go to bankofamerica.com/patriots.
Bank of America N.A. member FDIC. Copyright 2010 Bank of America Corporation. And account setup fee may apply in some states.
Patriot Place in Foxborough is New England's premier entertainment, dining, and shopping destination. Experience the Hall at Patriot Place, presented by Raytheon, an interactive museum dedicated to the history of New England football. The family will want to check out the latest summer movie at Showcase Cinema Deluxe, or a concert or comedy show at Showcase Live, shop retailers, and the region's only Bass Pro Shops. And of course, there's always dinner and drinks as you dine outdoors and take in the sunset or the view overlooking Gillette Stadium. Experience world-class medical care at Brigham and Women's Mass General Health Care Center, located on site at Patriot Place. The region's only four-star hotel, the Renaissance Hotel and Spa, offers luxurious accommodations, including the ultimate in pampering at Spa Epoche. Special events are always happening at Patriot Place, from Kids Club Storytime every Tuesday to the area's largest classic car display. Patriot Place is located in Foxborough next to Gillette Stadium, and parking is free. Visit patriot-place.com for complete store and restaurant hours and event listings. Patriot Place. Shop, dine, enjoy.
And now, great moments in PFW in progress history.
From the photos, Andy was telling me.
No. Unlike the rest of the world, I didn't clamor to go see Brett Favre's junk when it was available online. I still have not seen his junk, just like I haven't seen Greg Oden's. I don't seek out male penises.
See?
Unlike some men in this world.
Couldn't agree with him more. I've never seen one of those photos.
But I like breasts. But they said Jen Sturger photos available, see why Favre was after her online. I'd be dialing it up
tonight.
Matter of
fact, I have done that.
I like breasts. I'm passionate about breasts.
I think that's really funny, though. Why would you ever do like a Google search on Greg Oden's junk?
Right.
Did you see Brett Favre's?
Yes.
Did you see Brandon Spikes?
Yes.
I don't get that. I don't know why you would want to see
just watching it.
That's another great moment from PFW in progress.
All right, back here in PFW in progress. Speaking of that, Nick in Victoria was so interested in my infatuation with male junk that he sent me a book the other day called... I forget what it's called.
Bad Penises.
Yeah, Super Bad Drawings. I guess that movie Super Bad, one of the main characters had a hobby of drawing these things with all based around penises.
Yes.
So this is a book of those drawings.
It's like penis tanks and stuff, right?
Right.
Stuff.
So thank you, Nick and Victoria. At first I saw it and I didn't make the connection to the movie, and I'm like, what the hell is this?
You were interested,
but
just a little confused.
He flipped through the whole thing.
But I guess Seth Rogen wrote the foreword for it.
Who actually drew the penises?
A guy named Greenberg, maybe, or something like that. He was involved with the movie as well.
Interesting.
So.
The big penises?
Well, if you'd like it, I'll let you look at it. The book. All right, webradio at patriots.com is the email address. 508-298-0398 is the ace ticket hotline. Rasmus in Useless, Denmark says, let me start off saying I'm thrilled that Eric's testicles have finally started to produce testosterone. His pure anger makes the show much better and amuses me like few things can.
He's really like Vernon Golston.
They dropped right before our eyes.
Keep the rage going, Erica.
Keep the anger going. I'm sorry, Rasmus. I didn't mean to step on your
Now on to business. Why is Belichick bringing in Danny effing Amendola? We need an outside-the-numbers receiver, and he brings in another 5-foot-nothing white receiver so we can go on to win a ton of games, but never one that matters. And instead of going hard after the best pass rusher to hit the market for a long time, we signed the immortal Jonathan Finene. What the hell is going on up there? Belichick is losing it. This is idiocy at such a high level. I'm starting to doubt Belichick, which is something I've never done before. Well, at least until he didn't trade up for Quinn. Can you guys please talk me off the ledge? Keep up the great work, ladies. Love the show and can't wait for the draft.
Andy's going to hope that Finene is not of a JJ.
Oh, I don't think he is. I don't think so.
No, of course not. But if you see one play where he does, you know, he gets pushed back, that's what you're going to say about him.
Even when we get a Samoan, we don't get a good one. Do you know he has 11 siblings, Fred?
Is that right?
And was a high school quarterback in American Samoa. So got some athleticism and versatility. That'd be a big wildcat coming at you.
Is that an 11-on-11 game?
Have you ever
or seven
seen a small Samoan?
I think it's 11-on-11.
They're all big.
He's probably the smallest one, so he had to play quarterback.
Seriously, they're all defensive linemen, and when they're running backs, they're 260-pound running backs, so... It was probably a massive high school team where he just happened to be the most athletic and skinniest.
But can we get back to this Amendola thing?
But why not bring him in?
Who?
Amendola. Why not?
Because I have no interest in him.
Because I don't think he's very good.
Pocket lint.
That's my answer to that question.
Bringing him in.
I don't want to give up a second pick for him.
Yeah.
I don't want to give anything up for him. Yeah, I don't want to give up money or a pick.
Beyond that.
Never mind both.
I find it too coincidental that he was a reported guy they were interested in. And he's in Boston, but there's no connection. He just happened to have a death in the family on the eve of restricted free agent signing. That stinks. That smells funny. I don't buy that this is all coincidence.
How about, do you think there's any specific message to Welker the Patriots are trying to make by bringing in
absolutely
slot receivers?
Absolutely.
Because I would add Anthony Gonzalez to that mix,
yep.
too.
Well,
the inexplicable hoarding of Anthony Gonzalez.
Yeah, I don't know that it's really a message.
Well, I think, but if you start stockpiling your roster with players at his position, I think it's saying to him, we got you for one more year, and then we're ready to move on unless you want to sign for what we're making you sign for.
That's kind of what I'm asking.
I think it's more of a plan than a message.
Well, the plan is a message.
The plan is to get him to sign the tender.
You're under the belief they want him to sign, say, a four-year deal.
No, the tender.
Oh, the tender's irrelevant to me.
What if he doesn't sign it?
Then he doesn't play. And I play Julian Edelman. I mean, I think he's out of his mind. I think there is, 0% chance he won't sign the tender and play.
Do you think
31-year-old receiver to sit out a year and cost himself $9.5 million?
Do you think there's a chance that they could sign these two guys with Edelman, and now you have three guys, and they take the tender away?
No.
I don't
either. Because your tender quarterback would lose it.
I don't either.
But I don't think this is a message in any way. I think they are planning for – I think they offered him a two-year, $16 million deal fully guaranteed, which means you pay this for $16 million for 2 years, and then we're done.
Right.
I think that's their mindset. I think they think Welker is a 1 or 2 year option. I don't think they want him to necessarily be a 4 or 5 year option. Mm-hmm. Even if they were willing to spend 5 years, $50 million, I don't think they see him as part of the plan 5 years from now or 4 years from now.
I agree.
So I don't think anything, if Amendola isn't a message, he's a replacement.
Now, Andy,
this is not a game.
You also, and I don't know if you put this up yet.
It is a game, actually.
You said you were going to write about.
I haven't put it up yet.
Okay. Well, why don't you explain some of the stuff that you and I talked about off the air? It seems to be, Freddie, a real groundswell right now. And this is the kind of stuff that sort of bothers me, too. You know, 5, 6, 7 receivers sign good deals. I mean, good money deals. I mean, significant money. And all of a sudden, it's, you know, everybody in Boston has to line up one after, you know, one in front of the next. Oh, poor Wes Welker. He's so, you know, unappreciated. And the price is just going up and up and up. I'm not necessarily sure I see it the same way, and Andy has actually written about it. He's going to put something up on the blog later, but why don't you give us
Wes Welker at all. I think it actually has narrowed it in to exactly kind of where it was. And if you look at it, you're not a comp to a 26-year-old, 27-year-old receiver. You're just not. You're 31. That's something you can't change. That's your birth certificate. And if you look at the deal signed, the closest guys to Welker's age, Vincent Jackson's 29, so he's 2 years younger. He got 5 years, $55 million. Reggie Wayne's 33, mm-hmm. 2 years older. He got 3 years, $17 million and change.
Five and change.
So you split those two, you're right in the smack middle of them.
Right.
50 and 17 puts you in the mid-30s.
Right. And the offer...
Probably a four-year deal because one got three, the old guy got three, the younger guy got five. So you're probably looking at 4 years... 32 to 36
right.
million, which is what we've talked about all along.
And the original offer, which was so, quote, insulting.
Patriots.com radio.
Okay. The original offer that the Patriots made, you know, 2 for $16, which is 8 per, you know, isn't that far away in terms of the per year.
It's
value.
In line with a lot of those, the right. 5 and 40. There was 2 or 3 guys who were 5 and 40.
So like we said at the time, okay, that was the Patriots offer. We don't know what Welker wanted and where that in between is, but like you said, it doesn't seem like it could be that far away unless Welker is asking for something that's unreasonable.
He can drool over whatever he wants. Oh, 5 years, 55, I'm better than him. I had more catches than him. I've had more catches than him for five. Well, that's fine. You should have held out 3 years ago when you were at the prime of your career and leading the NFL in catches. The ship has passed. You're 31. You can't go back. We're not going to pay you for what you did the last 5 years. We're paying you for what you do the next 2 to 4.
And that is worth $8 million a year for 4 years, maybe.
And Andy's point is the price probably hasn't significantly risen based on DeSean Jackson, Robert Meacham, you know, Vincent Jackson, and all these other receivers that have signed, Marcus Colston. Those guys, for the most part, are much, much younger than he is.
And true number one receivers, outside receivers, which have always made more. It's always been the more marquee position.
Right.
He is trying to change that, obviously, with his production and looking to set it. But, I mean, don't tell me there is any place in the world where Calvin Johnson's contract is in any way related. Not the type of player they are, the size, the age, the nothing.
Whole different category.
And Steven Jackson, I mean, Vincent Jackson is pretty different, too, because a little closer in age, but outside, big play guy, just a totally different, almost a different position where you feel like they should be different categories.
Right. And I would now, say a two-year difference is significant at that position, too.
Yeah.
Now, you know, if it was 27 and 25, I would say that's irrelevant, but 29 and 31 is not irrelevant.
At least Welker can argue, I'm more productive than Vincent Jackson is.
Well, in terms of catches,
but
he is.
Reggie Wayne is similarly productive. I mean, he's like Welker in that
he's not a big play guy.
110 catches a couple of years ago. He's, you know, 12 yards per catch.
Right.
Touchdowns are usually in the 6, 10 is like the high end for it. And, you know, benefits probably from playing with a great quarterback with his numbers. There's a lot
of and
comps,
you know,
there.
When you're talking, you know, 31 to 29 as far as age goes, those 2 years makes a huge difference when you're talking about a 4 or 5 year contract.
Right.
You know,
that's what I meant.
Yeah.
I agree with you.
So that's, you know, what's the difference between 2 years of age? It makes a difference in the contract and the length of the contract that you're willing to sign to the guy. You know, it's obvious that Wes Welker isn't willing to give the Patriots a hometown discount, or else I think they'd already signed a deal with him. On the converse side, does the fact that he knows the system and Brady so much add to his value in New England a little bit, and should that be considered?
Sure. That's how it gets from 32 to 36 maybe or something. But not in terms of tens of millions of dollars or extra years. It's marginal.
But he gets a little for that.
And he knows that, and he knows Brady will sulk if they let him go and that there's a value in that, but there's only so much value in that. You're still 31. You're still on the wrong side. You're still little. You're still taking a lot of hits. You still already had one ACL injury. I mean, there's a lot of negatives to throw at him if you want. You know, they talk about baseball arbitration. Teams don't want to go because they end up having to tear down the player.
Yeah.
There's a lot of those you can throw at Wes Welker.
See, I know the Patriots offered $8 million for 2 years. I'd be willing to give him $9 million for 3 years and not guarantee the last year. So 2/3 of that guaranteed and the third year not guaranteed.
My guess is
$18 million guaranteed?
Yeah. Yeah, I just don't think he'll take it.
No, 27. Oh, yeah, $18 million guaranteed.
Yeah, I just don't think he'd take it.
But I think that's fair. I think that's a fair contract.
No, he doesn't.
You know?
Yeah, I mean, I think they thought the 2 for $16 was fair. But he didn't.
It's an opening offer, you know.
So where would you go from there, though?
Well,
how high would you go from there?
I've just gone from 2 for $18 to 3 for $27.
You just said there's room, though, so I'm wondering how far.
He starts at 8 for $130.
Right.
So how high do you go?
Well, that's unreasonable.
I know.
You know.
But what's your ceiling, Fred? That's what I'm asking.
The 2 for $16 was unreasonable.
Yeah.
I mean, do you see what I'm saying?
Yeah.
It's like there's two sides to the negotiation. Now, I tend to land on your side on this one, believe it or not. I think that I wouldn't be willing to give him, the 4 or 5 years that he's probably looking for at this stage of his career. I think we've probably seen the best that he has to offer. I would definitely proceed with caution on this. And I've been all over the map on this one, admittedly. So if you guys want to make fun of me, absolutely. I've been all over the map on this one. So I deserve the criticism on
I believe it was the week before he went out and had 6 catches for 7 yards.
And I love Wes
Welker. And did that for the rest of the year.
I love Wes Welker, and I appreciate the value he has to this team. But I think at 31, 3 years is a good – and the price per – puts him right in the middle of where I think he should be, just like
you
said.
It's not really about the price per, because then you can give a 1 year deal and say, well, it's $8 million a year. I mean, it's about the length of it, the guaranteed money. There's a lot at play there. To me, your contract is low. Just like if he came back and said 5 for $55 is high.
That's high.
You're both being a little bit ridiculous. You're past the parameters. You need to get in that range of $30 to $40 million and
4 years-ish, depending on how it's structured, blah, blah.
With
to
20,
me, that's reasonable.
With 20 or so guaranteed?
My rule of a half. Everything's a half. If whatever you guarantee a half of whatever it is. That seems like all these contracts are basically these days. So.
Yeah.
But to me, that's reasonable. I think I'm a pretty reasonable onlooker. But, I don't think he's great.
But you were willing to guarantee a half, which would come out to about 20. I'm willing to guarantee $18 million over 3 years. So he's guaranteed.
Well, just so you know, if he plays out the year, he's guaranteed to get more than $18 million.
Yeah, see, here's
because the franchise tag.
You fixate on the guaranteed part. The player doesn't. The player thinks he's going to earn more money. So in the player's case, if I come in on a four-year deal and I show that I'm worth it after 2 or 3 years, I'm going to get the money. But if I take the small deal and I play through the small deal and I'm worth it, I'm not going to get the money back that I would have gotten if I signed the four-year deal to begin with.
That's true.
That's the way the player looks at it.
Yeah.
So for Andy's thing, if I get the 4 and 40 and the last half of that deal is not really guaranteed and you might look at that and say, well, you know, they can get out from under – the player looks at it and says, yeah, but if I earn that, I can get $40 million. If I only accept your 27 and then I play out the 3 years, I'm not getting that out of the $13 million
right.
3 years from now, no matter how much I
right.
produce.
Yep. Yep.
So the player looks at it as like, at least I have a chance to earn $40 million. Your way, I only have a chance to earn
27.
20.
27.
Right.
Right.
But I'm talking about the guaranteed part.
Right.
I think the player looks at it differently.
Matt, what do you got?
So, numbers officially coming out of Buffalo. Mario Williams, 6 years, $96 million. $50
million
guaranteed.
$50
million? Mm. 50,
Paul,
5 0.
Half.
The rule of a half.
You were right, Paul.
You can be an NFL agent without doing anything. Divide it by two, and that's what's guaranteed.
That's a big deal.
I just had to see if it was Buffalo, I had to think it was going to be like a landmark contract. You know, what about Buffalo was so important to him?
Now, I think he owns half of Lake Erie now.
he owns the painting, doesn't he?
In the Anchor Bar.
Have like a Picasso painting.
I think they
threw
in Bledsoe's Winnebago in the deal. So
it's not funny.
Maybe he just likes a challenge. Maybe he, you know, he was brought in to help the Texans beat Manning. Maybe he feels like he's brought in to help the Bills beat Brady. Maybe he's a guy, build up the city.
I have no problem being a big.
I have no problem.
Look, there's something to be said about being the big fish in the small pond. You know, you rule the roost. You are the king of the town.
But not because it's easy. There's two views on that.
Yeah.
There's guys I think that go places for there's no pressure. We're going to be 6-10 every year. Or there's guys that go there and say, I don't need to go to a great team. The team I go to will become great because that's how good I am. I can bring other free agents here. I can make
sure.
it. And he may have that mentality. I don't know. Jamie in Houston probably doesn't believe that he does, but.
No, there's a lot of. That's a good point.
Still trying to get him to call back, aren't you?
It's like that number thing where you got to buy your number.
The
number does not make you. You make the number. If you become Emmitt Smith, 22 becomes the greatest
and
number
of all
time.
And if I'm the Bills, that's the way I'm selling it. Look, we've had fast starts. We just haven't been able to sustain. You come on our team, and we're going to be able to do that. That's what I'm saying to Mario Williams.
Sure.
And you know? I don't know what their situation is now. Financially, but
they actually used all their money.
does Mario Williams now help them get two or three other complementary pieces that could really help them
sure.
and add their depth? So when they have the injuries, Andy, that kept him out of the Super Bowl, as you claimed that I said last year, they're better able to sustain it.
Yep.
You know, withstand those injuries.
What's the latest on Peyton?
Peyton Hill has signed with the Chiefs.
I saw that
1 year deal.
That's a good signing for them.
6.5-hour meeting with the Titans yesterday, and
offered like a lifetime.
They offered him a lifetime contract plus future generations. So any kids, grandkids, will also be able to be quarterback for the Tennessee Titans.
Now I have a question. He went to Tennessee.
You're just sitting there listening to him.
Well, yeah. I just
do you actually hear some of the words that come out of his mouth?
The ridiculous. Everybody. Oh, you know, he went to college at Tennessee, but. My understanding was he wasn't really that loved because he didn't win. And as soon as he left,
they won.
So everybody makes it like this, it'd be this great homecoming story.
Right.
I'm not sure he's quite the god in Tennessee that people perceive him to be.
And there was people in Ole Miss were upset because he didn't go there.
Right.
You know?
Right. So I hope he wouldn't make a decision. I don't think he would make a decision based on any of that crap.
No.
But I find that interesting. I'm not sure that's quite the perfect fit because of his college roots.
But
plus, it's a different
city. I want him to make a decision, though, soon.
But he
I'm tired of the storyline.
You know,
you get tired of everything.
But he is, you know.
You're not tired of hearing about Peyton Manning every day?
It's a major decision. It's been a week. It's not like Brett Favre that goes on and on for months and months on end.
I think this has been going on for more than a week.
What? Why do you say that?
I think he knew where, you know, what his future was going to be in Indianapolis. And I think
technically, he really hasn't been able to talk.
And he certainly couldn't go on tours like this.
Yeah. No.
He's not Fanene. He's not just going to sign without seeing
I have no
place.
Problem. I agree with Andy. I don't know what the hue and cry is about, you know, dragging this out. He's supposed to make this life decision in a couple days?
Fred, you're out here at PFW. You either got to go to Denver or Tennessee to start a paper. Make the decision now.
Right.
Don't look into it.
Now, I will say that I think it came from him or his camp that he would have a decision by this Tuesday.
Right.
And that's passed. So maybe people looked at that and said, well, what's going on? But at that time, Tennessee wasn't in the mix. You know, things changed.
I thought there were like 12 teams that contacted him.
Conditions on the ground changed.
See, I personally think that the problem has been the coverage
of
it, not Manning, because I've heard nothing from Manning. Now, you could argue that everything Chris Mortensen is writing and saying is on behalf of Manning, and that's probably true. But I think if the media would just stop saying every time he visits one team, it's between that team and the team he previously visited. Like right now, it's just Denver and Tennessee.
Right.
Before that, it was just Denver and Arizona. Before that, it was just Miami and Denver. Stop saying that it's only those two teams. It's pretty clear that he's kicking the tires on all of his possibilities.
Right.
So when he makes a decision, he'll let us know. I'm with you guys on this. I don't really see the problem from Manning's perspective. To me, it's all about the breathless scrolls that we have to get inundated with that aren't telling us anything.
So it's the media's fault, as always.
As always. We are the root of all problems.
Damn it.
Let's go to the Ace Ticket Hotline. Tim in Pensacola is on the phone. Hey, Tim.
Hey, Fred. It's been a while. It's great speaking to you.
Thank you, Tim.
It's been a great while.
You know what, Andy? You're still a douche. I was hoping that the Super Bowl loss would mellow you out, or maybe during the off season you would get a new lease on life. Now, you're still the same douche you've always been.
Likewise, my friend.
Well, that's true. I can't argue with it. But I have a new man crush going into this draft.
Who is it?
The great Stephen Hill.
Me too. We can finally agree
on something when worlds collide. Thank you, my friend. Stephen Hill will be the perfect fit.
Dogs sleeping with cats. What's going on?
Well, I'm actually really surprised about that. But I'm just going to harp really quickly to if we get him signed in. I've been really studying this guy, and his the one problem area or the flag I draw is that, you know, limited route running abilities. And I think for that, I think we should, if we sign him, I think the first thing we need to do is get him down with this this kind of side option offense we do. Not only that, but expanding his routes. But I have a quick question for you guys. Remember a couple of years ago in the Jets game when we started off with like 50 different formations for each offensive play? It was something crazy. Could we in this thing, if he doesn't pick up the option offense right away, could we have a package like not a huge part of our playbook just so that he can make an impact and he's just not sitting on a bench with about maybe 15 or 20% of our plays that doesn't utilize it, that just kind of a standard offense that we can kind of wean him into? And if he's one of those guys like Jabbar Gaffney who just instantly get our offense, and, you know, forget that, let's just, you know, put him in there. But I don't want these. And then the final thing I'll say about that is I don't really want all these slot receivers. I mean, especially Gonzalez. I mean, the guy was always hurt. He was the one guy on the Indianapolis Colts with Peyton Manning throwing to him that I wasn't afraid of, because half the time he wasn't there. And, you know, it's just.
Yeah, he had a good start to his career, but he's always injured. That's true.
Yeah, so, you know, just if they think this Amendola guy is going to be the next Wes Welker, I don't see the Rams signing him to a big deal. So if they're going to work him out, then he's a free agent next year and you decide to part with Welker, that's okay. But I think giving up a second-round pick with as much defensive holes we have currently on this team for, what is it, a fifth guy who's a slot receiver, it just doesn't make sense.
Wow, Tim.
And we're with you, Tim.
All right, Tim.
That's your best phone call ever.
Thanks for calling
in, Tim. You should never call again and end on a high note.
This is a great call.
Tim,
have nothing to even make fun of him about.
Jamal writes in, sucks to say Super Mario will be with the Bills, but great news. It seems Lloyd and the Patriots are getting a deal done. Do you think the Patriots are interested in any of these people? In cornerback, Tracy Porter, Terrence Newman, Marcus Trufant, Pacman Jones, or Zach Bowman? Any of those guys? Terrence Newman got cut by the Cowboys. Would you take him? I never liked him.
I would look into it.
But he might be
though.
Better than what we have.
Yeah, I would look into it.
I'd take him.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm not going to pay a lot for him.
Pretty much anything's better than what we have.
I would take him.
I'd look into Trufant, too.
Yeah.
Trufant.
I mean, I would trust the pro personnel guys to see how much those guys have. I mean, they've been around for a while now.
Yeah.
See, no, I'm dead serious.
Oh, okay. The players.
I thought you were making fun of our caller earlier.
No. I mean, Newman and Trufant have been around for a while, and they have some wear and tear. Maybe they're not playing at a passable level
now. We could see where they rank in the Bleacher Report top 100.
And three guys at safety he wants to know if we're interested in: Reggie Smith, Reggie Nelson,
yes,
or Dwight Lowry.
I'm ready for Reggie Nelson.
No, thanks.
I liked him coming
out.
Let
the Jets take him.
He wasn't mature enough to be a first-round pick in Jacksonville, where he obviously got terrible coaching because that defense was Del Rio. I think he's ready to be a playmaker. I think they're not going to be able to pay for him because I think somebody's going to give him some coin. But if they're interested in Laurent Landry, then they're interested in spending some money.
Carl writes in, Patriots fans don't get Bill's strategy to free agency. See, what Bill does is instead of targeting difference makers in free agency, he signs his low-level Jags. Because once all the good players are signed, these Jags are next in line. Bill is clearly just ahead of the curve. And yes, Paul, this is sarcasm.
I got that one.
My feelings on free agency so far hover between disgust and nausea. Oh, God. And that wasn't sarcasm.
No.
What about everybody who's all jacked up because the Redskins are going to have to trade or release Gaffney because they're signing all these receivers? Do you want him back?
Sure. I'll take him.
I take him.
But
yeah,
he's not.
I'd absolutely take him. But again,
I take him over Lloyd.
It's more.
I take him
to me. It's more of the same of what you have.
Yeah.
Right? You still need something different.
But you're
than
better.
That.
You're better with
absolutely.
Him over Ocho. He can actually step on the field, run the right way, and catch the ball.
Right.
Couldn't agree with you more. Out of the four receivers you have, he'd be one of the top four.
But I'd rather have him than Lloyd too. I would too.
I
have really not a lot of interest in Lloyd
because Brady likes him as a teammate and on the field, and he wouldn't take very long to get back into knowing this offense. So
another thing, Josh McDaniels, he's going to bring Lloyd here. Now he's going to. People are saying Amendola. Did he even coach Amendola? Wasn't he hurt last year?
I think he was hurt.
Yeah, he played one game, I believe.
Yeah, but
he was on the team. So, I mean, that's a little bit of a stretch on that one, I think.
And Josh McDaniels already screwed up one team. Why are we letting him make all our personnel decisions?
John writes in,
Love you, Josh.
Yeah.
I know we have two picks on the first round, and I have yet to hear a clear answer. Is it possible for us to put in an offer sheet for Webb and Wallace? It may fill two possible needs, and to me it makes more sense than two unknown commodities in the draft. Just throwing it out there to maybe spark an argument, which is always fun.
Yes, I believe it is possible. You have two first-round picks.
Is it true? I don't know.
If you have the ammunition.
Yeah, these aren't supplemental guys. You can do whatever you want with these picks. Because I heard
you
can't trade that 27. No, you can.
You can trade picks.
Supplemental picks.
I didn't know if there
was
some sort of specific stipulation that you can only trade your own pick.
No,
I don't know. I didn't know
whatever
that
you
worked.
Want with
yeah,
these.
I don't believe so because teams have acquired picks before to do specific things.
Right. These are legal tender.
We want to do this, so we actually have to trade to get.
Well, that's the other part too. Is that even if there were a stipulation that says, well, you can't, you just make a trade.
You make a trade for the guy, but I'm pretty sure you can just sign him to first round tender things.
Yeah, that certainly would be my assumption. That you have two first round picks, you could put two offer sheets to restricted free agents that had first round tenders.
Now you don't have.
I wouldn't do that.
Significant. I don't know that you. I mean, cap wise, you'd have so much cap room tied up into guys who may never play for you.
Yeah, I wouldn't do that. I would be interested in doing one or the other, but not necessarily both.
Alex in Philly says, last show you guys talked about whether to pay Mark Anderson or not. And the argument against him was that you wouldn't give him Tully Bannacane money, something that a desperate or delusional team would probably offer him in free agency. I do want Mark Anderson back, but definitely don't want to overpay him. My question is, what type of contract would you give Andre Carter? Would you give him a Tully Bannacane type deal? Last thing, I wish the team went after some of those starting caliber corners that were free agents this year, because I think that all of them are all gone now. Any one of those guys would have been an upgrade over what we have. If I remember correctly, we barely had starting caliber corners last season, if at all. Keep up the good work.
I'd give Carter a one-year deal.
Yes,
I mean,
I wouldn't give
he's
him.
He's old. He's coming off an injury. He might not even, he might be a PUP candidate for all we know. I wouldn't invest too much on him.
Yeah, no. And now, looking at it, your love for Anderson, Paul.
Please don't start.
3 years, $12 million for Fanene. right? With $4 million guaranteed.
Yeah, I would hope to get Mark Anderson for less than that, just as a comparison.
But I would think Mark Anderson would not want sign more than for that. Less than that.
No.
I played you more might than be right. him. I had more sacks than him.
I'm a
I know
starter.
Your system, blah, yep. blah, blah.
You might be right.
That was my point, is where that sets the bar for a guy of his elk.
As you like
and
to
I
say.
Would go back less versatility, and you're not as good against the run.
Okay, he's
not definitely
as good
not as good
pass.
against the run, but I'm not sure you have less versatility.
Really?
I think he can do a lot of different things.
Okay.
Yeah, I think Anderson could play as a linebacker if you wanted him to.
They're both borderline starters slash backups slash versatile. That's what they are.
Yeah,
who have some ability to get to the pass rusher, who are a little older,
different type of versatile.
And I do
though.
Think right. that the ability that you already know of him being able to play in your system counts.
Is valuable.
That's
especially
valuable.
Since you have found guys that couldn't.
Right. But I also agree with Eric and on Andre.
So you
Carter.
Give him what? $10 million to sign and like.
Oh, here
see,
we go.
He really is insufferable. Yeah. And now you know what's going to happen. It's like you know. And I got a lot of texts on this, tweets on this, the Connor Barwin thing that we were talking about. I thought you didn't like Connor Barwin. Well, I'm pretty sure I didn't. That's another one of those guys I missed on out of the draft. You know, it's
you
like,
miss on a lot of guys.
But the difference is, I tell you the guys that
I'll tell
I
you
missed
when
on them.
Oh, by the way, Fred, what do you think of? The Turbinator for Robert Turbin.
Turbinator?
Turbinator. I like it.
Well, you were saying today that the Jets had him in for a
that
visit.
That is unbelievable. No, not haven't had. They're going to.
They're going to have him in for a
that
visit.
That is literally the first tweet I've read about a draft prospect visiting a team. Usually
right.
that happens in, like, April.
Right.
When they're cleaning up medical.
And to me, it's silly.
Done.
To me, it's silly because if you're a free agent, you have options. And you want to see everything about the facility. If you're a draftee, we draft you. We don't need you to look at. You're coming here. I mean, you,
no.
You know
it's
what I mean?
The opposite. They want to get they bring the guy in to get to know him to check.
But I would go to him. I wouldn't bring him in because with social media, you see Turbin in the Logan Airport, you see him.
You shut down all the planes.
Well, no, but or you see him in you know.
What do you care about that?
I don't know what he's talking about.
You have a certain amount of visits that you can have. You're not doing your organization
but
a service.
It costs
if you don't use them all.
It costs me the same amount of money to send somebody to him. I would go to him these days rather than have. I don't
is
need
him legal. I don't even know if that's legal.
You're allowed to go.
Yes,
right?
You can go. You go to pro day workouts,
no,
and you can
you
work
can
out guys on your own too. They
oh,
do
yeah.
that all the time.
That's
matter
true.
Of fact, I think we just did it with Cincinnati guys this
yes,
week.
Yes.
Your boy, the running back, IP'd. Isaiah P'd.
Yeah, I just
he was hard on himself.
I don't think there's any need to bring in draft guys, you know, to see to
why
see your, to see your facility because
it's
they don't
not
need
to see your facility. It's to meet with them.
So Fred,
you go there. You go to him.
You do that too. But there's only a certain amount of visits that you're allowed. What's the number?
60, isn't it?
You're, I mean,
maybe
you're
not 60.
Doing yourself a
that
service.
Like
you're
a
doing you're doing your whole organization a disservice.
30 before yeah. the.
Regardless,
yeah.
if
get as
Fred
much
is telling the NFL that you do something 1,000 times, that's useless.
You get as much information on every guy as you can, and you can get information at your place that you probably can't at another place.
And medical, they often do medical checkups at these, because he's the guy, had an ACL as a junior, bounced back, had huge production last year, but maybe there's
what do you
concern.
Care if someone tweets it out that Robert Turbin was visiting Foxborough.
I don't like it. I don't like
because I can't believe that the only tweet I've read about a guy is the guy I want.
I know there's a lot of misinformation, and just because you have a guy visit you doesn't mean you're necessarily interested in drafting
right.
him. Sometimes they do that, but I would be complete cloak and dagger on my draft visits.
One of the many reasons you would be a terrible GM.
Yeah.
The least of which is your love
now,
for thighs.
Now, when you're getting close to signing a free agent, he wants to see what you're up to. I can understand that.
Unless he's Fanene.
Right.
Then he's in Samoa. Yeah. Right.
Then he's like, what? Then he's playing quarterback.
So has he actually signed? I mean, has everything been faxed back and forth?
I don't think it's a done deal. I mean, it's in terms of has it been submitted to the league?
I don't believe it has.
What does Wikipedia say, Flash?
I don't believe it's official because no one has written that
right.
It was official.
Yeah, we didn't have a release. We have a release generally when it becomes
official. Well, we'll get one 2 months from now.
Oh, wow. Shot at the PR department from Eric Scalavino.
Wow. Cavern in Gainesville says, it's been a while since
Truth
I've been able
mean.
To write, but I haven't missed a show. My question is, if Mike Wallace is too expensive because of his restricted free agent status, how about a trade for Percy Harvin? I think he'd be a cheaper option. He does more than Wallace with his special teams play. I'll continue to hold out hope for Wallace, even though I feel it's a long shot. And finally, I'd like to pick up lunch next Thursday for you
Yay.
Guys. I've been trying to get Eric to come to Vegas next weekend, so instead, I'd like to spend that cash on lunch for the crew. Have Matt or Kevin fill in to email me so we can set things up.
So well, who is this?
You turned down a trip to Vegas, Eric?
He's invited me a couple of times, and I have to respectfully decline.
Why?
Because I'm saving up for my vacation that I'm taking.
Sounds like he's going to pay
spring.
For you.
He'll expect a little something, something.
Where are you going? For you, but you always have an exotic
I'm
vacation.
Going to,
play.
I'm going to
going?
France.
France?
France.
Yes. You fit in.
Midnight in Paris.
Yeah. The feminine pompous asses.
Well, no, but the pompous ass sound, part is more
isn't Cavern
what I was talking
and
about.
Feminine. He's saying he's going to pay
well,
for you.
That wasn't part of the offer originally,
he
I don't think.
He says instead of using the money for that, I'll buy you lunch. So,
that is what he said.
Yeah.
Oh,
I'm not necessarily
I think
sure
it would cost,
that.
I think it would cost a lot more to send me to Vegas
well,
than to buy
us
lunch.
Well, what do you care?
Because I don't want him to spend all his money on me.
Oh, don't be a man.
You could do a painting while you're out there. Don't you have that?
That would really cost a lot.
Have you ever
then I have to spend
years?
3 months.
Have you ever finished that family's painting?
Did you see this, Sandy?
Yeah, it was like a year ago, Fred.
Oh, so you're done?
Yeah, a long time
Did
ago.
Did they pay you?
Yeah, a long time ago.
Was it good?
Yes.
Average?
No.
Were they really happy?
Yes, they were.
You sure?
They sent me photos of where they hung it up in their new place because they moved.
And then
I
they took it down after
no
they took the photo.
Maybe.
And nothing, the girl, nothing happened with the girl? The daughter?
What? Oh, their daughter. You mean as far as...
No, no, the daughter of the king.
I thought,
I don't
I was,
know.
I didn't know what you, I didn't know where you were going with that.
What is wrong with him?
Yeah.
It's like the time you took nude photos. Oh, that time when I was confused which time you meant.
Are there other daughters?
No, no, no. I thought you were
no
going down
daughters,
some...
wives, husbands, anything. 6 year dry spell.
Those are unconfirmed reports.
Oh, I've confirmed it.
You've
about
not, you've not confirmed
it.
Anything. You've confirmed nothing.
Oh, once it's on Twitter, we know it's true.
Right.
Then.
Wikipedia. I'm going to put it on your Wikipedia page.
Do you have a Wikipedia page?
No.
No.
6 year Sahara spell.
That's unconfirmed.
You tell us if it, if, you know,
yes.
You
we,
snap
you wouldn't
that
have
drought.
To tell us. You wouldn't be a douche all the time.
So you haven't been getting any for all these years?
Oh, I get plenty. I'm just a natural douche.
He's just not good at it.
I'm very good at it.
Oh, yeah.
Highly doubt it.
Yeah. Larry's in Miami, and he's on the A Stick and Hotline. Hey, Larry.
Hey, guys. It's been a long time.
What have you been up to?
I was on the 12-step program.
Uh-oh. What step are you on?
I just stepped out.
Oh, you stepped out?
Oh.
What are you, Josh Hamilton?
I just stepped out and then found out we're trying to trade a second rounder for another slot receiver.
I hope that doesn't get you back at step one, then.
Yeah.
Yeah, that might just be all smoke. There's theories that maybe they're just doing some research so that when he is an unrestricted free agent, they could sign him next year. I wouldn't get your panties too bunched up over that one just yet.
Well, I got the revolver right next to me.
Oh, no. We don't
it's
need
just football.
We're gonna have to talk you down.
Let's just look at the facts. Without an outside receiver and without a defense, they were minutes away from winning the Super Bowl. You got that to look forward to.
Yeah, but I feel that we just. I thought free agency. I felt so bad because Robert Meacham got what's left, and we didn't able to get him. And you know, I don't now want Lloyd because I don't feel like he's a good fit.
I agree.
And I'd rather draft a receiver than have Lloyd, and to go for another guy for a second round that we could use for a defensive guy, or at least a running back, because I don't think Ben Jarvis Green's coming back, but at least that, but come on, I don't know what they're doing, really. I don't get this.
Well, they haven't done anything, so just relax for a minute.
But Larry, don't we say this every year about the Patriots?
Right.
In this first few weeks of free agency, we don't know what they're doing. We can't
understand
it. No one
said this in 07.
No one said it in 07.
And then they win the AFC East.
In 07, yes.
And last year.
Actually, they didn't lose a game.
And
last
year,
every year.
Last year, they were very active in the first few days of free agency.
Almost every year. You know, so I would.
That's not fair, Eric.
I know, but they had to be. I know.
That was an Andy-like argument.
That was a very Andy-like argument.
Still.
They were very active in August when training camp had already started and free agency opened.
When there was 4 million guys signed.
No, but they were also active with big names is my point.
But
they weren't
no...
just signing Jags. They were signing
big
names.
How'd that work out?
But
the big names sucked.
But they couldn't wait because...
Right? Ocho sucked.
The season
was sucked.
If you waited, the season would have started.
But they were appeasing people. People were appeased. People were excited.
Which shows you how...
The people are
that
stupid.
Doesn't, nothing about
yes,
last,
it does.
Nothing about last year proves anything.
It proves that people were appeased.
Last year was an anomaly. They had no choice but to sign people.
But appeased people came from
In 2007, everybody was appeased.
Right.
And they went 18-0.
Dean
appeased. It should have been 19-0.
Dean was here, too.
Or Isaiah appeased.
No, peed.
But the point that Eric is making is just because they're signing big names and people are happy about it doesn't mean it's... always going to work out. It's smart
business. I
don't
think he made that point.
I was kind of making the other point.
He was going the exact opposite
I made
way.
It for you. Cormac is the person who bought us lunch.
Yay, Cormac.
A very confusing one. I got an email last night. We weren't going to have lunch. He backed out again. He was in musical chairs. Kevin was mad at him.
Appropriate that our favorite Irish listener got us lunch right before St. Patrick's Day.
Well, that's what he says. He says, I felt that in the run-up to St. Patrick's Day, when us Irish annually spew vomit and drive our snakes into places where they shouldn't go, that it was an appropriate time to get you guys lunch.
Yeah, baby.
I want you guys to know how much I really appreciate this show and how it makes such a difference to those of us living outside the U.S. where there is little to no coverage of the NFL. Also, when you guys get to London, and I hope you're ready with your update today.
Yes,
Eric,
I have one.
This year.
Matt's ready with the music.
Ireland is only a quick hop, skip, and jump over the sea. I know you probably can't make it here as you'll be traveling on a charter Patriots flight, but just want you guys to know that there's always an enthusiastic Dubliner here to give a guided tour that you'll never forget. I even promised to get Eric laid by a lovely red-haired Dublin lass.
Firebush. A little red-haired girl.
Now, why does she have to be little?
Because Eric's little.
Yeah, and plus that's little red-haired she girl is the character from Charlie Brown. We're going with a little.
Oh. God. Firebush.
Okay.
Matt, do you have that? We caught you unawares last show.
We weren't ready.
I have no idea where Kevin put it. I'm looking for it now.
Oh, okay.
So thank you, Cormac. Nice.
Are most Irish girls redheaded?
A lot of them are.
A lot are.
Thank you, Cormac.
One of the traits they're
very
known
common.
For. Yeah.
That and drinking.
Very common.
No, nothing is as common as that.
So they beat a lot of redheaded women when they're drunk. Isn't that also a common Irish thing that they beat
that
their
they
women?
Beat their women?
I think so.
Really?
No.
I think so.
Oh, come on.
Because they're drunk?
That's terrible.
Well, I would assume that's part of it.
That's terrible.
Well, I mean, if we're going to go stereotypes here, wouldn't that be an Italian stereotype with the
wife beater?
Undershirt, the wife beater.
Right.
I think it's an Irish thing, too.
No.
You come home, they made potatoes again.
Well,
either way,
you're okay saying it because you can still make fun of the Irish and the Italians.
That's true.
That's all you got left.
That's it.
RL says...
well, and the Catholics.
There's been talk of Danny Amendola being spotted in Boston. If they're thinking about moving from Welker... instead of spending a second rounder for Amendola, isn't it better to platoon the slot position between Branch, Edelman, and Hernandez? Trade Welker, possibly get a first rounder for him to use to get Mike Wallace, sign Brandon Lloyd. Now we have two real outside deep threats while maintaining the same production from the slot. How do you guys like that?
How did we get a first rounder for Welker? I missed that part of it.
See, you don't necessarily get the same production from the slot just because you're platooning guys in there. They still have to get open and catch the ball.
Right.
You know?
But I'm not even credit. How are we getting a first? I don't think you can get a first-round pick for Welker.
Well, are you assuming that you're letting somebody franchise him?
That's a big assumption.
I mean, letting someone sign him, I mean?
This would have to be a trade, and I don't think someone's going to give up a first-round pick for a 31-year-old slot receiver.
And pay him,
yes. I mean, they wouldn't give you a first-round pick for a 26-year-old franchise quarterback.
He wants to do Edelman, Branch, and Hernandez. Now, I do think you could probably more than likely increase the production combining all three of those guys if Welker weren't there. But
that's not fair because Hernandez is already there. So Hernandez and Welker had 100 and
that's exactly my point.
85 catches or whatever.
That's exactly my point.
Well, now you need to match that somehow in however. Now,
the problem is, what are you getting out of Wallace?
Right. Now you're adding Wallace. So it's really Wallace, Hernandez, Branch. It's how you piece it all together.
I think you could probably get the slot portion of that production, but how Wallace fits into that, and all those other guys are on your team already.
Right,
right.
So it's not really an increase. So you know what I'm saying?
That's right.
You already got 50 catches out of Branch or whatever the hell.
Right. I got a strange email during the week from a woman whose boyfriend, ever since the 07 loss, has not been able to listen to the Journey song, Don't Stop Believing. I think his name is Alex, and I told him to write in. And she wanted me to tell him that it's okay to listen to that song now. So I'm just going to say, Alex, you can now listen to that song. It's okay. The fact that they played that song after the Tyree catch, it's okay. I guess they did on a New York station over and over again.
Oh.
He's from New York.
That would be hard to deal with.
Yeah.
That would be really hard to deal with.
But. Let's see.
Okay. A lot of emails.
Yeah, I'm just trying to go through some, trying to get to some that we haven't.
Flash, if you can't find it on the thing there, just look up on YouTube, Rule Britannia.
you just call him Flash?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Flash in the pan. Flash in the pan.
LePan.
Okay.
Not like he calls you Ace.
Right.
Well, he told me to call you two other names that I can't repeat on the air.
Two?
Yes.
I remember Bitch. What was the other one?
And all that. Mm-hmm. And all that.
What?
The soundbite of him saying, and all that.
Oh, no.
Oh, my God. Paul, I mean, it's like pulling teeth over here.
Leslie Visser interviewing Frankenstein on TV.
The Ohio Valley Coach of the Year.
So Frankenstein interviewing Frankenstein on TV.
Oh.
What is with this guy's hair? Anyway, Ryan
looks
in
like
North...
Mark Cuban a little bit.
A little bit. Ryan in That's North Dakota right writes in, love the show. This is probably a little off topic right now, but if
we had a North accent? Coding accent?
Yeah.
What the show?
Fargo?
What if Manning were to land in Denver, could you see a Tebow for Gabbert trade with the Broncos attempting to develop their QB of the future under Manning and Elway?
Possibly.
After seeing Gabbert play last year, I'd almost think the Jags would have to give a late-round pick with Gabbert. What are your thoughts?
No. I don't think that would happen.
They could do a straight-up?
Why would the Broncos want Gabbert?
Like he just said, to build for the future, have him play under Manning for a little bit.
So he sucked so bad, the team that needs a quarterback doesn't think he can play, but the team is going to take him, saying he could be a good quarterback? He sucked. Why would anyone trade for him?
He did suck. But
he did suck, but maybe if he plays with a guy like Manning, maybe he'll learn not to suck.
And maybe Jacksonville, wait a minute, there's no question he was not good as
right.
a rookie. But maybe Jacksonville isn't necessarily giving up on him by trading him, but they want Tebow.
So they're going to go from one quarterback who can't play to another.
If you can't rationally discuss this.
Well, Tebow can't play quarterback.
I agree.
If you bring him to Jacksonville, it's totally a PR move.
But
it's totally
exactly. Don't you acknowledge that that might be valuable to Jacksonville?
Pete Prisco has said all along there's no chance of that happening.
No, well, maybe
he's
there's
a Jacksonville
not.
Guy. So I assume he kind of has his ear to the ground there.
Maybe there's not a chance of that happening. But
in
you
fact,
don't see
yesterday
how
when they
that
signed
Henny, could be possible?
His tweet was, thank God we can put all the rumors of Tebow coming here to rest for all the morons who thought there was a chance of that ever happening.
Oh, really? I thought that there was a chance that there would
not
be
according
a trade.
To Pete Prisco.
Okay.
No chance. And they signed Henny.
All right. So what does happen to Tim Tebow if they just cut him and he's a street free agent?
I think he just stays there and they try to develop him as a quarterback. It's my worst case scenario because he's going to do it and he's going to say all the right things and it's going to annoy me.
It's your worst case scenario.
He's going to be humble and it's an honor for me to learn from a legend like Peyton Manning. I'm going to vomit when he talks.
He's no Andrew Luck or Robert Griffin.
But no, the difference
is it would be an honor to hold the clipboard for that man.
It does.
And if they want me to play another position, I'll do whatever I can.
It could be in the Broncos' interest to actually keep him because they could quiet down the Tebow fans by saying, look, he's learning from Peyton Manning.
Right.
You know, you can understand why he's not playing.
Yeah, but what if Manning
and
sucks?
You can use him for marketing reasons.
What if Manning sucks?
Well, then
what if 2 weeks in, Manning is not looking good? Now you're going to have all these Tebowites calling for him to play.
Well, that'd be a great story.
Yeah, but if Manning sucks,
no,
you got bigger problems. You know,
right.
Because you just handed him a boatload of money.
Right.
You know, John Elway's up there going, what the hell do I got to do to get a quarterback to
John
play
Elway's
over here?
Cracking open the beer.
Suck.
I got to drink something.
Original
Coors Light.
Chris Joe from Houston, why can't we trade Wes for a first-round pick? There are a lot of teams who could use him, and we can also get some future picks. There are some good wide receivers in the first round. We can get Michael Floyd or Kendall Wright or even trade for Mike Wallace.
Why don't we just trade?
Andy doesn't believe that any team
picks.
Would give a first-round pick for him.
I don't either. I don't really think that someone's going to give a first-round pick for him and the money
right.
at 31.
Right.
You know, I mean, we're all talking about would anybody do that for Mike Wallace. Mike Wallace is, what, 25?
Yeah.
I'm not sure that market for that is there.
No chance.
And
that one was in addition. There were going to be other future picks thrown in, too. That one was even better.
Chad writes in, he's from New Jersey. What do you guys think about going after Laron Landry or John Abraham? They both went into
John Abraham is a guy I'm very much interested in.
How much?
Again, I don't want to give him $50 million. Why?
No, I'm interested in him at the right price.
Doesn't matter how much it costs, Andy, really?
Well, that's true. Fred's theory is doesn't matter. But
how about, I don't know, what did he make last year?
I don't know.
Short-term deal, like two-year, $15 million?
2 years, $15 million?
Short-term. Like short-term, big money.
That sounds like a little much to me.
$12 million?
I think that he's a guy that could come in and really impact your defense.
I think he could, too. Or he could be done.
And in that case, I want to make sure it's a very short-term deal, and after the first year, I can get out.
Well, Ellis was a short-term deal. We still bitched about it.
It's
That's a good point.
Is that right or is that not
that's
right?
A good point.
Yeah. He made $4 million Ellis, and we said it 1,000 times because he KP.
But Ellis sucked last year. Abraham was very good last year.
Yeah, but what if he, I mean, the odds. I don't care whether he was good last year if he's sucking here.
But the odds
wasn't Ellis,
are,
wasn't Ellis good the year before?
No, he sucked. He sucked the last 3 years
in that game,
in the playoff game.
That's the one I always think of, though. So I think, oh, yeah, he had a good year.
Yeah, yeah, and Bill Belichick have something in common.
And as Andy always forgets, you know, we evaluated him going against Dan Conley. We forgot that there's other guys that he might have to play.
David has two quick questions. One, do you think Tom Brady will be done in the next 2 years? No.
I think no.
He goes for
how many years on his contract?
Yeah,
three,
however
right?
many his contract has.
Three.
And do you think that Gronk's injured ankle changed Super Bowl 46, obviously?
Yes.
Yeah.
I don't know. He said he was 100% and not having surgery.
They would have won.
Yeah, I don't believe
those
that.
Those are both lies.
Yeah.
I will say that they absolutely, positively would have scored more than 17 points if his ankle was healthy.
I'm with Paul.
Fact, I'm not saying they would have won.
They would have caught the Hail Mary because he would have been there sooner if his ankle
I'm not hurt. Saying they would have won.
Wouldn't
I'm
have to
saying
come
they would
that.
Have scored more than that's 17 points.
Mary,
I think they may have lost, you know, 35 to 33 instead.
But. Noel in Denver is very upset. Typical
Wait a
Pats.
Second. Before we interrupt you, you said Mary.
Well, the email says Mary. This is another male either emailing from the mom's account or the girlfriend's account or something.
Bloggers.
How do you spell Noel?
N-O-E-L.
N-O-E-L.
Couldn't that be a woman?
Could be.
Noel usually has two L's and an E. Yeah.
Is it Dave Crisoli's wife, Noel?
Yeah, N-O-E-L-L-E.
Usually they have the L and the E at the end.
That's
not like
Noel. N-O-E-L is a
This is
a,
like
is a,
Noel.
That's yeah. a guy's name.
Yeah.
It is. I know. I see your confusion, though, because it is like Christmas, you call it Noel, but it's yeah. spelled with just N-O-E-L. But then when it's a man's name, it's Noel. And when it's a woman,
Christmas
it's Noel
time.
With two
N-O-E-L. Remind me of this at Christmas time. I'm going to start saying Noel.
The first Noel.
The first Noel.
Yes.
Anyway, he or she says, typical yeah. Pats put all the pressure on Brady to take us to another Super Bowl. Let's get a consistent pass rusher, a deep threat, and a running back to match Corey Dillon. I love Mr. Kraft and the entire Patriots organization, but aren't you tired of squeaking by in the playoffs? We can dominate with Tom Brady. Help him out. Look what Terrell Davis did for Elway. Yep, tired of going to that Super Bowl. Just tired of
it. Here's where I got
to
play the Fred side. They never dominated in the playoffs. I mean, they had a cup. They had a you know a game or two here or there that they won going away, but for the most part,
including this year,
all of their playoff games for the most part were very tight games.
And the other flaw to that,
even when they were winning titles,
has there been a better value addition than Terrell Davis? What was he a fifth round pick, fourth round pick? So you wouldn't be happy.
Sixth, I believe.
A sixth round pick. So they didn't target and go get a elite running back for John Elway. Excuse me. They lucked out and got a great running back late in the draft. So that wasn't that doesn't even apply to now. Bill would love that. Bill's dream is getting a Hall of Fame running back in the sixth round. He dreamed into a quarterback in that round.
Let's see. Lucas is upset. He doesn't think that Mario Williams is that big a deal. And also, if Washington can get all those receivers under the cap, Patriots could probably too, right?
Yes.
But hey, let's get Lanene and Panene and Hanene too. That's what he says.
It reminds me of that George Bush thing with John Sununu. Fenene.
There's no question the Patriots could have signed anybody they wanted under the cap.
Right.
That they didn't want to spend them. They don't think those guys are worth $40, $50 million. Or, I mean, that's the issue. It's all about value.
And maybe now that they see what the market is, if they turn around and now do a deal with Wes Welker, then, you know, okay, we were saving our money for Wes Welker.
Yeah, but you've done nothing. You've kept your offense together.
I know.
Whoop-dee-ding. It's like when they were signing Vince Wilfork and Tully Bantakane. All you did was keep together the same defense.
Well, you know, there's something to be said about keeping together this offense.
Yes, but not this defense.
You know, no, but I'm just saying.
Defense sucks.
I'm just saying, you know, it was a pretty good offense.
I want a terrible defense.
I want to know what you do with the guy who talks upstairs in between shows.
What?
Because you are a totally different guy when you come down here. Like, we talk about the different things the Patriots are doing.
There's no doubt that
and you have a whole different slant when
no,
you get down here.
No, I know. There's no doubt that they need to get better on defense. That's what this offense should be. I mean, this offseason should all be all about is getting better on defense. But
I'm never happy.
You already have a guy in Wes Welker. Unless you're going to get rid of him and bring in somebody who's better, there's something to be said about keeping this offense together.
And there's something to be said for adding to it.
And I could say that the very fact that you're going to use perhaps Ridley and Vereen next year makes you better just from that.
Well, good. We replace the guy who doesn't fumble with the guy who fumbles.
Yeah, I'm not. I mean, that remains to be seen.
Well, no, but I'm saying that it will.
But I mean, you're taking a guy away.
I'm saying it won't, so we've reached an impasse.
I mean, you're taking a guy away from your committee, and you're saying that it's better. I'm not sure.
You'll add somebody else. There's always guys available around June 1st.
Now, there's the guy that's been talking upstairs. Finally, he's back.
Let's go to the phones. Anthony in Naples is on the line. Hey, Anthony.
What's going on, Cork Soakers?
We're just Cork and Soak.
Cork and Soak?
It's actually Soak and Cork.
I know.
That's okay.
Sorry, Anthony.
It's okay. But how about that Mario Williams signing?
How about it? It's big money. He would have looked good here, huh?
I certainly wouldn't have wanted to give him $96 million.
I would have.
No,
I'm sick of not giving anybody.
I'm actually not afraid of it. I kind of look at it like, kind of like not really watered down the AFC, but it didn't make a strong team stronger. You know what I mean? Like, he just doesn't scare me with Buffalo. I think there's too many holes on that defense where I don't think he's even enough to make that much of an impact.
No, but they're trying, and you're right, mm-hmm. It's the defense. I mean, they've put together offensive playmakers. They've decided to keep that core together, and that scares me against this defense. And they already beat you once. Now, if they can start holding you down, making Brady uncomfortable, I mean, I think there's – I don't fear it.
I don't
at
fear
all,
it either.
But
yeah.
I think they took a
it's
step
a,
But to
it's
be
a good move for them.
Yeah.
And if those two things can be true at the same time.
Would have been a good move for you.
Yeah, absolutely. But really, the reason why I called is that, you know, I'm tired of hearing about Wes Welker. Like, I'm at that point where I'm fed up with it. It's either crap or get off the pot. It's like, do something. I want them to free up the money. And the money that's being thrown out there to wide receivers, I'm sorry, but he's not in that class per year. You know, I like the guy. He's a great little player. But
what difference a drop makes.
No, it has nothing to do with the drop.
Keep preaching it, Anthony.
I just feel like that position is replaceable. I just feel like he is a product, a little bit of the system. And he's great. Don't get me wrong. He makes that product that he displays from the system better. But I just feel like I don't think he's worth that type of money. I'm sorry. To me, he's like maybe $5-6 million per year, especially at his age. It'd be one thing if he was 27, but what is he? Almost 32?
Well, no, he's 31.
He'll be 31. Yeah,
May 1st.
He'll be 31. Well, yeah. Whatever, give or take, whatever.
I hear.
But it's just not worth it. What would you give up? Hey, and this is the thing that aggravates me about Felger, because Felger just keeps saying, well, nobody's going to trade two first-round picks. Am I not wrong in saying that they don't necessarily have to take two first-round picks, whatever they decide?
Oh, if they wanted to just make a trade with them? Yes.
Exactly.
Blake.
Yes.
In order for someone to sign him to an offer sheet and the Patriots not to match it, the compensation would be two first round picks.
But that's not all that would be, I mean, Matt Cassel.
Yeah. If you're a team that's really exactly. interested in Wes Welker and you think he's a difference maker, you go to the Patriots and say, hey, we're interested in making a trade with you. We'll give you one first round pick for him and see if the Patriots
exactly.
take it. Absolutely right.
Yeah, he is so misleading. It's so annoying I don't feel like calling up the radio station, but he's like, well, nobody's gonna give two first round picks.
Felger thinks he's the Mario Williams of the offensive side free agents available. Like, that there's like 28 teams that would absolutely kill to sign Wes Welker.
I don't think there's any question about it.
I'm not sure that there would be that kind of interest. You know, I think Felger thinks he'd be signing a deal like Vincent Jackson just signed. I won't say Calvin Johnson, but I think Felger thinks he would be the high end of all of these signings, and I don't think he would be.
Yeah, I don't see it. I think he complements this offense nicely. And I just think he has to be a little bit reasonable too with his age and like what this offense does to make him, to help his numbers, you know? And I think that's where the Patriots argument, it wins on that side. But my thing is, what is the minimum you would take for Welker? Like, if you did trade him away, like, what's the minimum?
For me, it would be a first round pick.
Well,
because of the value he has to my team.
Wait, if I can't sign him, if he's not going to play for me,
okay,
then I would take a lesser
pick.
Oh, but value to me, I would want a first round pick.
All right,
holy Christ.
Wow.
Yeah, he went through a tunnel there.
Freaking helicopter.
You guys are probably right with that. I think if he held out and now you're basically looking at it and saying, I have no choice, I would just take what I could get. Right. But if you didn't have any indication that he would hold out, I suppose you'd say, well, it's got to be a first-round pick.
Pretty valuable to you.
Yeah, I agree.
What?
Why do you keep rolling
just
your eyes?
Just so you know, you're the man who once said, I don't know. What do you have, like four touchdowns? You've poo-pooed Welker. He's poo-pooed Welker.
No,
poo-pooed Welker. We've all poo-pooed Welker at some point.
I just can't think.
I'm as guilty of that as anybody.
You can't minimize the production he's had.
See, I can. I can't minimize the comfort level he provides Tom Brady.
Well, that's
why,
part of it too.
That's why I won't give up anything less than a first-round pick.
I like how Matt raises his hand to talk.
What do you got there, Flash?
We got some good news on a former Pat.
Uh-oh. In the Big Bang Club.
Going to the Redskins.
Oh, boy, they'll sign anybody, huh?
Boy, the Giants just got happy.
Tell you, it's amazing.
I was hoping he'd go to the Jets.
It's amazing how hamstrung they are with the cap. I just don't understand how they're doing it.
They just got docked $36 million with the whole
and they're still signing guys.
Well, only 18 for this year. So their last safety gut shot. This safety does the shooting.
Let's see. Fat Pat writes in.
The truth is never inappropriate.
Since Super Mario is off the market, one guy who's still available I would like to get your opinion on is Devin Landry. Haven't paid much attention to him, but what do you guys think about him on this defense and his price tag?
LaRon Landry.
He said Devin.
It's DeJuan is the other one, but this one is LaRon that Patriots are
combined
in.
The two.
We're going down.
We're going to get both of those players.
Jaron Cherry.
I thought he was talking about another lineman. So,
there is a Landry lineman, but
okay.
What's his name?
I'm sorry. I thought because his brother is DeJuan, right?
Yeah,
I believe the other, so.
And he's also a safety.
Yeah,
no?
But there's also a Landry lineman.
I don't know.
What's his name? Eric, you got like a pile of 7,000 things over there. None of them have free agent lists.
Yeah, I got a free agent list.
Well, then look it up.
Allie.
He also says, I heard the podcast last week about talents you guys wish you had to get chicks, like playing an instrument or dancing or whatever. Well, add being a good cook to that list. One of my friends in Tampa could cook like a beast, and let's just say he gets his and plenty of it. On top of all that, he doesn't need to spend much of anything on dates since he whips it up himself.
Eric whips it up himself, too. It saves a lot of money.
But in order to show off your cooking, you have to get her to your place.
The date, right.
Right.
That doesn't.
So you have to play the guitar first and then get her over.
No, I'm 100%. Unless it just gets out there, you get a reputation.
Right,
But that's weird, too.
Yeah.
Now all your dates are somehow connected.
Yeah. My problem would be just getting her over.
Yeah, I just want a, guitar at a, all of a sudden. Oh. Hey.
Right.
You see, speaking of that, Jennifer Love Hewitt is back.
We mean back.
Where'd
she
go?
She disappeared for a while, had kids, I think. She's back. She plays a prostitute in some new show.
Nice.
Her cans look phenomenal.
In a show?
Yeah.
The Landry is spelled with an I. His name's Derek, and he played for Philly last year. He's a D-tackle, 24 years old.
Defensive tackle?
Yeah.
Is that who he's talking about?
I guess so. I don't know.
I don't know. He said, what did he say?
The only other Landry is LaRon with the Y and not his brother.
From another.
No, from that mother.
Eric, you'll be happy to know that Simon says he'll have a wiki page up for you by the end of the day.
I don't want a wiki page.
He says it can't be
worse
than
the last
dictionary page.
Yeah, please don't do that.
We had a feud with them for a while.
We did. The last time that someone did that in this building, it did not go well. Don't do that.
So please don't do that.
Yeah, but
for our sake.
He's not in this building.
It doesn't matter.
I'm saying
just
it happened in this building.
Yeah.
Don't do it, please.
You don't want a wiki page.
No.
You're making it clear that you don't want a wiki page.
That's correct.
But he does want a woman.
Yes.
What if it was a good wiki page that had like your paintings on it?
No.
When I get a hold of it, it won't be a good wiki page.
Let's see. Emailer writes in, since the start of the 09 season, Mario Williams has had 23.5 sacks. Since the start of the 09 season, Andre Carter has had 23.5 sacks.
I told you this was going to happen yesterday. I told you, actually.
Right. Well, is it true or not?
First he pointed to Andy, then he pointed to Fred, because no one on the radio knew what you were pointing you.
Oh, shut up. Why are you always
shut up, you?
All right.
He did have 5 sacks in 5 games last year, so you should technically add 11 sacks to that total. Does it still work?
Josh says,
It's very simple. Who would you rather have, Mario Williams or Andre Carter?
Mario Williams.
Okay.
Josh says, I have not heard you guys mention Marcell Dareus once today. The guy's a beast. He and Mario Williams will be a huge pain in
the ass
to deal with in the front four. Yeah,
we mentioned him in the discussion earlier.
You should listen.
Marcell Dareus was their top pick last year next to Kyle Williams. Now you have the foundations.
Right. Overrated.
I have it read back to you.
Lindsay Petruni writes in.
LP.
Bobblehead.
She says, Paul and Andy, Bennett will be here at 2. Do we plan on shooting around 2:30?
No. We plan on shooting around 2.
A work-related email?
Yes.
2.
Sent into
you
the show.
You told us at, right after the radio show. The radio show ends at 2. So we'll be there at 2.
What are you shooting?
Eric.
I was going to say a load.
Oh! Jesus. What are you doing?
Blanks.
Matter of respect.
Unbelievable.
Matter of respect.
You really, I think you really should go to that. You should go back to that sensitivity training.
It's not going
to
help, Paul. It really won't.
Already
it's not going to hurt.
In fact,
it might hurt, actually.
I think it actually backfired because I can remember when we had it the first time. I learned jokes and things to say in the demonstration.
Things that aren't allowed? Right.
Right. Is that wrong?
I could just see you come home one day. They fire
you. You should know I got a little wiener.
Well, that would be funny. I made an inappropriate joke.
And he's trying to explain it. All nod. I was doing was repeating what they told us not to say in the office.
Well, the other day I
just saying, well, yeah, I can get that. I see that.
And that guy that emailed me the links to Bra Burning Tuesday and Hump Day.
Right.
She goes, what is Hump Day and why were you on the page? And I was like, whoops, got to clear that history.
He's like a 13-year-old boy over here.
What's that?
He is.
Andy's acting like a 13-year-old kid over here.
It's not an act.
The history after he goes on the internet.
Say,
it's not an act.
It's no different than it's ever been.
Soren writes in, love the show. Hope you all had a great steak and BJ day. What's that?
What?
I'm all for it, though.
I'm all for half of that.
Actually, as long as it's a filet, I don't want a fatty steak.
And on a less
or
serious
a
note,
BJ.
I have a question about the tight end position. Since the Patriots use two tight ends a lot, it has been very productive. Do you see them targeting a tight end in free agency or the draft to complement Gronk and Hernandez? Both of them take a beating every week, and the offense stalled in 2011 when one of them was out. So who do you think could be a good fit, or is Dickerson or the other guy on the practice squad an option?
No. I would think
he just keeps saying no to everything.
Vasante Shenko might be a veteran
get
option.
Him to come here for the
who knows?
Third.
Who knows?
I do think they need to add a tight end.
The way they use the tight end so much, he might not be – He what may not feel like it's a third.
What about Doran Dickerson? Is it Dick or Dickin?
Dickerson.
And who's the other one? We have another one on?
No, I think that's it.
We had Gronk for
Carson
a while.
Carson Butler's.
Carson Butler. Yeah.
Dan Gronkowski.
But no
chance for either of those.
No.
Dickerson intrigues me because he's an athletic receiver type.
He's a weird tweener, though, because he doesn't really look like, well, I mean, so is Hernandez, obviously, but he's different in that he's not the receiver type smaller like Hernandez is.
But I think he's a
receiver.
But
he's bigger.
Right.
And he could be like a fullback, H-back,
right. So
whatever.
He might be versatile enough. But I do think they have to bring it, whether it's a draft pick, a veteran. They need to add to
some
that
more
group.
Bodies.
You can't have that group. I mean, it's like they joked last year when they asked Hernandez, what's practice like without Gronk? Very lonely.
Yeah.
They only had those two.
Yeah.
And Hernandez is a slot receiver.
Kat from Chicago writes in. She says, why is the interest so low in John Abraham? It seems like he'd be a huge upgrade. He's a great player. I agree with the idea of a short-term contract for him. Would love to get him.
Well, I don't know if the interest is low. Right now is when prime guys sign, and that's guys that are young.
John Fanini.
For most teams right now is when the big-name young prime of their career guys sign. Then veterans and other guys fill in later, except in New England where they fill in first. They'll be interested in Abraham unless there's some reason not to have interest.
He's going to ask for a lot of money. He was a very high-paid player.
Yeah, but I don't think he's going to get it. He's in the Wes Welker mold. You're getting old. You don't get $100 millions and $80
millions. Well, that might
millions.
Be why. There might be a lot of interest in him, but then he's come back with his demands and people have moved on.
Well, and he'll move into reality
at some point. Excited about the Fanini signing and Landry visiting. Lastly, what's
come
the deal?
On now? You're excited about the Fanini signing?
She is. She is.
You like Samoans like I do, huh?
What's the deal with all the fans salivating over Brandon Lloyd? The only rumor I have liked less is the signed Danny Amendola campaign. I have been listening to people complain for years about signing old defensive players rather than drafting. Why all of a sudden do we want an old wide receiver? We already have Branch, who in football years is about 87. I agree with your comments from yesterday. Lloyd is a head case and majorly inconsistent. He's not worth the investment in terms of time or money. I would much rather spend the 31st pick on Mike Wallace, and I'll tell you why. I don't have much faith on the Pats' ability to evaluate wide receiver talent. We have a string of disappointing picks and free agent signings. Take a guy who is a sure thing for the 31st pick. It's well worth it. Of course, that's coming from the land of money doesn't matter, since I'm sure he is too rich for our blood. It's too bad that Garcon was snatched up. I thought he'd have been a perfect fit. That's Kat from Chicago. So,
Wallace is fine, but it's a huge investment, and I don't think you can assume anybody's just going to fit in this offense and hit the ground running with Brady. Just because he's worked in the NFL, worked in Pittsburgh, I think there's a, an acclimation period there, and there's more of a risk. If you draft, even if you draft a guy at the end of the first round, there's far less risk there than giving up a first rounder and handing $50 million to Mike Wallace. Because it's now, we're now have to be pretty sure that Mike Wallace is worth $50 million based on Jackson and Garcon and all the, that's what he's worth, is $50 million. So there's a bigger risk with Wallace than there is with, say, Stephen Hill or somebody.
TG and NJ says that according to Pro Football Talk, Shawnte Spencer is out in San Francisco. He's a cornerback and wants to know if he might be the Patriots might be interested in him.
Sure.
He Why was, not? It's a guy we've never heard of. So
no, I've heard of him.
No, I know, but I'm
I remember
just...
him coming. Isn't he from a Northwestern
8-year
place?
Career, freed up $3.3 million under the 49ers cap. Let's see. 30 years old, started all 16 games, two straight seasons.
Where's he from?
But in 11, he was largely phased out of the defense, appearing in just 9 games and starting none. Spencer said late in the postseason that he felt like the 49ers dumped him. And in February, the 49ers gave him permission to seek a trade. Now he's free to sign anywhere he'd like to go.
Hard to argue against the Niners because their defense was really good. So yeah. It's not like he was, helped them.
Right.
Their defense was legit.
Yemi from Texas wants to know, in hindsight, did Welker make a mistake signing a 5-year deal with the Patriots? Why did he take such a deal since he wasn't getting that much money? I think Welker feels cheated about his previous contract and wants to make up for it.
He was a nobody.
Well, that might be why he fired his agent, too.
You know.
Yeah.
He moved on. He changed agents. Andy actually informed me of that this morning. I didn't know that David Dunn was new to him. But that might be why it was a bad deal.
And I remember
he caught 67 passes the year before he got here. That, you know, I didn't – listen, I thought they overpaid for him. I'm not I was wrong. Again, I'm not afraid to admit it.
But nobody knew that, including him.
Right. But clearly, that was a very
good. Right.
But,
no, that was a good deal. Yemi saying it.
No,
so,
but Yemi's right. The 5-year part was asinine.
Well, that
the money part wasn't.
Yeah,
he got good money.
Yeah.
For a guy who at that time was not anywhere near what he is now, but 5 years set him up to have that happen to him.
Right.
He should have been looking for a less money, shorter term, and banked on himself. In retrospect. Easy to say
Right, in retrospect.
Yeah, there's that overrated Mario Williams, only player in the NFL to average a sack a game in the last 5 seasons, although Jared Allen right there at .99.
I don't see Andre Carter's name on that list, though.
No.
Wasn't that the guy that was the comp, right?
Yeah. Well, they narrowed it down to the last, whatever, 2 years, and you know, including the year where he missed 11 games with an injury. It must have been Jamie in Houston, who hates Mario Williams.
Ross in Glasgow says, I'm still holding out hope for Wembley to be cut from the Raiders and for us to pick him up. It would be more of a value deal compared to Mario Williams now that it will be cheap, but it won't be $50 million guaranteed. Not that it will be cheap, but it won't be $50 million guaranteed. I reckon more of a Roosevelt Colvin type deal. I can dream because, let's face it, we're probably not getting anyone.
At what point do we then turn this page to Merciless or one of these guys in the draft? Because at some point,
once April
all
gets
those
here,
guys will be signed elsewhere. People's
April.
Well, clearly they want Merciless or one of these guys in the draft.
Mm-hmm.
And then he won't draft them, and it'll be clearly, you know, he was comfortable with Anderson and Carter. And then clearly
clearly and the value September in this draft around. Is in the third round.
Right, obviously. Yeah.
Always.
Kidding.
Always.
East Haven, Connecticut, Mikey Vandalism. I hope for our sake Matt Light comes back. Otherwise, we are going to have to see Solder get bent backwards twice a year against Mario Williams.
I think Solder's going to be fine.
Yeah. Doesn't Williams usually play the left side, or hasn't he?
Cannon or Vollmer would have to...
Cannon and Vollmer. Hmm.
I can't say for sure, but I think you're right.
Now, he might play right in Buffalo.
Another item in the
might
crap sheet today. In the Herald.
He can't play both at the same time.
He's good now.
For $100 million,
though,
you'd like to think.
It's like Ed Reed. He can play, you know,
that's right.
two safeties in one.
He's like two defensive ends.
He's better than two.
That's true. I know you want to talk, so go ahead.
Well, you guys wanted that.
Something about the Herald,
Paul? The crap sheet had a short item about Brian Waters today.
Wait, what?
It's related to the Matt White thing. Just saying that a source close to Waters said that he thinks he's coming back but has not made that decision final yet, so he could still hang him up.
Who said that, the Banktress?
This was the crap sheet.
Doesn't the Banktress work at Starbucks now?
I don't know.
Oh, she's not a...
She runs a Starbucks.
She's a barista?
Yeah. She should change her handle.
Yeah. He should change her handle. Right? Because didn't he give her the name?
I don't know.
He should just handle her.
He'll come up with his own shtick and not steal someone else's.
And he'll say, I don't even know what that means.
Mike in Vandalism says, I have come to a conclusion. Bill must hate skilled defensive players. He would much rather have Tracy White rushing the passer over a guy like Williams. But on the bright side, there's still hope for the draft. But he will probably trade out of the first round and get an undrafted guy to come in and rush the passer. But there is still a smidget of hope. We may try and make a play for Laurent Landry. Then again, we will likely just resign James Ahedebo and sign that Jack from the Chargers that has been ineffective since coming to the league in 06. Because Bill enjoys watching special teams Jags run our starting defense. It's unbelievable. I can't believe they got to the Super Bowl last year. You know?
Nothing to do with the defense.
Paul, but a lot of people think that they could
But
could
you have
won.
This inept guy running the team. But I don't a lot know of how they do this.
But a lot of people think that if they could have had some better personnel decisions, they may have won five of the last seven Super Bowls.
Okay. And you that really frustrates think that people. That's reasonable? Win five of seven Super Bowls?
How close do you think they've been to winning Super Bowls in the last 7 years.
And there's a lot of teams with much better defense.
There was
so
1 year.
Don't even get a sniff.
There
they
was
don't
have
one, Tom Brady.
There was 1 year. Yeah, not every team has the best coach and quarterback in football. The Patriots have had that luxury.
Yeah.
Right?
Like that.
Right or wrong?
What's that?
The Patriots have had the luxury of having the best coach
they
and
sure
quarterback
they
in
sure
football.
Do. They sure
and
do.
And that makes them a perennial contender.
And according to fans,
really
the worst
the
GM
problem.
In football.
Now some people, I think, as you have pointed out, have taken it a little bit too far. But I think the frustration lies in that if they could have gotten a piece or two instead of constantly trading down and constantly searching for value in free agency, they'd have more banners to show for it.
Well, they don't always
I don't
trade
think that,
down. They
I
have trade down, but that's not what they always
I
do.
I don't think that's that outrageous. They almost always trade down.
It's not fair.
That is fair. You know, they almost always trade
He
down.
Goes, Bill has a thing against skilled defensive players. He took it so far as he accidentally got one named McCourty, and he ripped the skill away from him.
Rob in Arlington, Virginia, are there any Darren Sproles-type running backs in the draft this year? I would someone better than Falk Woodhead. Also, do we need to draft a guard if Waters doesn't return, or is there someone on the roster that can fill his hole? His role.
Andy?
Is Marcus Cannon.
Andy's got a quick timeout he wants to call.
Wait, I was just going to Shane Vereen.
They drafted their Falk Woodhead last year in the second round.
He didn't do anything, but Fred thinks he's going to have a monster second season.
He might.
Monster? No, but I think he's going to be a solid contributor to the team.
You are so afraid to go on the record with something definitive.
Well, no, because
you always make it more definitive than it was meant to be.
Every statement you make,
he definitively said they're going to be better.
They're better, but and you went from that to a monster season.
Well, right. Compared to 0.00, it's going to be a monster year.
No.
All right.
He gives you to Fred.
So you don't have confidence in Vereen then?
My God. Here he goes.
It's one or the other.
Now you see why I want to wring his neck every week on PFW TV?
Every week?
Yes. We only do it once a week.
No, I was going to say every day.
Rob also wants to know, is Marcus Cannon a guard? Yes. And by the way,
the one thing he's willing to be definitive about.
He is yet to play a snap at guard.
Yeah. I thought he played a little
he
bit.
He played tackle last
in
year.
Right tackle.
Life, he's been a tackle. Here and in college, he's been a tackle.
Everybody thinks he
People
will be a guard in the NFL, but
guard.
So far we've played him at tackle.
No, then right tackle.
The game where Mankins got hurt, I thought that he came in and played a little guard.
I believe he came in and played right tackle.
He
that
played
game,
right
and
tackle.
And Solder went over to left
Solder,
tackle. No?
Yeah, yeah.
I believe so.
After Mankins got hurt, Solder went to left tackle to replace Mankins.
My mistake.
Now, listen.
Might be a guard.
Did he not play maybe not a snap might be a stretch.
Yeah.
Maybe he played a snap or two at guard in that game.
Sure.
But his
He's
work
been
has been
tackle.
As a tackle
in
the Patriots.
All right.
Everybody assumes that he will be a guard, but certainly Bill doesn't seem to be online with that because he's. Thinks he's a tackle.
And Rob also says that all the wide receiver signings by the Skins have gotten him really mad.
I'm sorry.
Well, they're trying to help this guy that they're about to draft.
Yeah.
You know?
RG3.
Well, so.
Paul has something he'd like to say.
Who did they sign? I mean, they signed
Garcon.
Josh Morgan and
Garcon,
right?
Yeah.
Did they sign any others?
There was another one that was
because the Morgan one
they
was cut.
Eddie Royal. They almost
the Morgan
signed.
One was
Eddie
like
Royal,
2 years.
Eddie Royal was the one that was rumored for a while.
Because Morgan was like 2 years, $12 million or something like that. A really small deal. So really, it's Garcon.
Well, it's a bigger deal than say Fanny.
Nothing.
Than Fanny.
That was 3 years and $12 million.
No, but
no,
I'm
he means a big deal name.
I know what you meant.
Young developing.
I like Josh Morgan. I think that's a good signing.
Who is
in
he?
A very atypical signing
from?
For them,
Air
San
Force?
Francisco. Oh, college, you mean? Yeah. I'm not sure.
Or is that Bo Morgan?
That's Bo Morgan.
Bo Morgan, about 100 years ago.
See all these little things I have bouncing yes. around my head, and yes. they all kind of connect?
TG and NJ says, okay, I had a knee-jerk reaction in the blog comments about the Patriots not going after a quality wide receiver in free agency, but if it's true that the team is only $10 million under the cap, then I understand why. With that number, we can't afford to do much of anything. I'm fine with building through the draft, but the wide receiver position is thin this year, and Belichick's track record with drafting that position sucks. I don't expect any Mike Wallace deals happening. It's going to be more of the same, going after less expensive players to bolster depth, trading down in the draft, get them all into camp, and have them slug it out and go with the best you can and hope it works. I have to admit, 5 Super Bowl appearances in the last 10 years shows us that it can work, but you still get that gnawing feeling that if the quality of the players was just a little bit better, if they had spent just a little bit more, we'd be 5-0 in the big game instead of 3-2. Just one question. How did the Patriots get to the low cap number they currently have now? Was it the Brady and Wilfork contracts? Are they saving up for Wes? The team's lack of activity in free agency and draft methods have to be locked into the cap money. Follow the money, as they say. Didn't Andy once say that all cap money talk is BS? Teams can always manipulate the money and make it work. As much as we Pats fans Jack like to Mueller, complain, it really could be much worse. We should be glad our team has these issues. Just imagine being a Jets fan right now.
Oh, yeah, they've invested money in big-name players like Mankins, like Brady, like Wilfork, like Mayo. I mean, they've signed, that's 4 $50 million deals, essentially, in right. the last 2 years.
And they've got another one coming down the line.
Gronkowski.
Gronkowski needs to resign.
Yeah, I don't know if that'll get to $50 million. That'll be in the 40s, maybe.
I'll tell you, I would wait as long as I possibly could on that one.
Why, you think he's going to get hurt? You're very negative.
But I would make sure that I know if he's hurt or not.
Well, he is hurt. He's in a cast. I saw it on his coffee table while he was curling his brother.
My favorite part of that was when he tries to knock the eyeglasses, the sunglasses down, and it doesn't work the first time, and he has to do it again.
Woo! I got big hits on our blog. Gronk is popular.
Oh, yeah. Why wouldn't it?
Do we want him to be on the Madden cover?
Hell yeah.
We do.
Why not?
I thought that was like worst curse in SI.
He is different from everybody else. There's no curse with Gronk.
And he's already gotten the curse. He's already gotten hurt before the Super Bowl.
Right.
So
he's too dumb to be cursed.
Okay. Just asking.
Plus, I don't really believe in that crap.
No?
Yeah.
It does seem
to... It's just a video game.
It seems to be... It's a little weird. I mean...
Yeah. Everything's a little weird. Lincoln's secretary was Kennedy, and Kennedy's secretary was Lincoln. It's crazy.
More often than not.
SI had a jinx for a while.
Yeah.
Right.
But they have too many covers for it to be a
right.
jinx.
Now they're too regional.
Right.
Every team would suck.
It's their grand scheme.
If you believe in that sort of thing, when did SI's curse end? Like last week, Kentucky was on the cover. They lost in the SEC championship.
Yeah, but to start the playoffs, they had Rodgers, Brady, Manning, and I mean, you can't have a curse when all the good players are on it.
No, because
somebody's going to win.
Because of what you guys started off by saying, you know, I don't really believe in that kind
of
crap.
Their curse.
And you're right. But SI's supposed jinx is very much alive and well.
Plus, they always put somebody on the cover who's on top, so they only have one place to go, is down.
Is that your...
No, but it's usually...
Why are you shutting down?
The week before a big game, usually when they go on the cover, that's when it comes into play.
What do you got? You raising
Have
your hand
Have you done
again?
A lot of research on this?
Hey, Flash is raising his hand. When news breaks, we break it.
So just
after someone else did.
Quick look at Twitter. Jeff Howe reporting that Steve Gregory is still visiting with the Patriots at this moment.
Ooh.
Okay. I'm moist.
Jeff Howe is an up-and-comer.
You are incredibly inappropriate, is what you are.
Jeff Howe's an up-and-comer.
He's an up-and-comer.
Job.
What?
Job. You guys are both jerks.
Both?
What?
Fred and Andy.
Oh, okay. You looked at me for
you're
a second.
You're irrelevant.
There.
Well, he hasn't made fun of me. That's you. Not today. Well, you know, at least in this segment.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah, that does not excite me that we're adding another Jag defensive back who's versatile. And
he's the one that went to Syracuse?
Corner. I don't know.
Again, though.
That's another part of the
whole.
He's
not the answer, but you're going to need bodies in camp.
We already have bodies. The bodies suck.
You don't sign bodies for camp on day 3 of free agency.
It depends on the price.
The price is always cheap.
Finene is not a body for camp.
No, he's a little bit better. He's better.
And it wasn't
cheap.
He's
a backup for the season.
No, he'll get significant play time.
I know he will.
Come on.
Because you have no defensive lineman.
He's probably right now your number 2 defensive lineman, right?
I agree.
You know?
That doesn't mean he's good.
Well.
He was a backup in Cincy.
No, he wasn't a backup.
Yes, he was. He started 17 out of 70-something games. That's a backup.
Yeah. He was a perennial backup.
Two starts last year. Played all 16, started two. That, to me, is a backup.
That's because they come out in a certain formation, but he plays a lot.
Oh, my God, stop.
Perennial backup.
Six and a half sacks.
So?
Yeah. Right. In two of his 7 years.
So. Right.
In the other years, he had none.
Yeah, he has like 13 career sacks and
12 and a half came in two seasons.
You put him in this system, he flourishes.
Yeah,
because
that always happens. Yeah, that always happens. Everybody gets better here. All receivers get better with Brady, except the ones that wash out with Brady.
Well, that's going to do
everybody
for this
plays better defense
PFW
under Belichick,
progress.
Except when they don't. Eric Burgess, Adalys Thomas, Sean Springs.
Thanks for Matt Miller.
Ty Poole.
for calling in from the Bleacher Report. And
Lee Bodden.
Matt LePan in the booth. We'll see you next Tuesday.
That was another unpredictable edition of PFW in Progress, the podcast for informed Patriots fans worldwide. Like what you heard from the PFW boys? Then support the show and follow your team even more closely by subscribing to the paper that makes the podcast possible, Patriots Football Weekly. Get your subscription right now by calling 1-800-494-PATS or by logging on to pfwonline.com. There's even a web-only international option for Patriots fans outside the U.S. PFW in Progress, brought to you by the writers of Patriots Football Weekly.